United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
World, so Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is the 18th of March 2014, and the number here is 347-945-5229. I'm going to, I think Diva's coming back in today, and I believe that Jeff is on his way in. And I want to thank the governor. The governor came here last evening, the governor of Ohio, John Kasich. He came in yesterday to the Mahoning Valley for a fundraiser. It was fundraiser for the McKinley Dinner, and we did the McKinley Dinner over at the McKinley Library, and we want to thank him for coming in. It was a very, very nice evening, and we learned, sometimes you go to these dinners, and you go every year, and you're like, okay, what can I should know everything about McKinley, everything about the Republican Party, everything about everybody in the room. I should know everything, because what can you tell me that I don't know? And last night, the governor told a story about the carnation, and I had no idea. It was one that I had never heard, and I was very impressed with it, about the carnation and how the state of Ohio became, the carnation became the flower of the state. William McKinley, he wore a red carnation in his lapel, and his wife would bring him a red carnation, and he would wear it. You know, that was his signature, that was his trademark. And he was on his way to a speech, and a little girl asked him about the red flower in his lapel, and he took it off and gave it to her. And he went up on the podium, and he went to give a speech, and he got shot. And that's how the carnation became Ohio State flower. And it's the red carnation, and I was like, wow, I didn't know that, so I was impressed with that. You know, sorry. But you got to know me. And so I like mushy stories like that. The number here is 347-945-5229. It is an open mic today. I want to hear from you today. The news is the news, and I don't think it's getting any better. I want to talk a little bit about businesses growing. I want to talk a little bit about taking education and responsibility and how we are sitting on our laurels as Ohio citizens and as American citizens, not pushing for a better education for our young people and thinking that if we don't say anything, it'll just go away. And when you have people who are passionate about education and they don't do anything about it, it's really, really sad. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. I want to talk about maybe I'll wait a minute, but I want to talk about how the church and people in church are truly getting far, far, far away from their roots, what they believe, who they say they are, and how they're going to accomplish anything. So I want to talk about that. And the reason why I want to, because I'm watching these reality shows. And it must be making money because they keep on coming out with them. And when I say that, you know, anything that makes money gets multiplied and it gets exaggerated. And they keep on magnifying and or exaggerating this. And it must be working. Something must be happening because they keep on renewing and they keep on expanding these reality shows about churches. And for some reason, I don't know what the fascination is with it, but I know it's a hot mess. And I want people to know who are watching these and or hear about them or have passed through them, because I know they have. I want you to know that what you see is not who the church says they are or who the church is. I want you to know that we are the church, the church and the body of Christ and the Christian is not what you see on reality television. It is not what you, it is not what is portrayed. It is not a faith of craziness. It is not, it's not a faith of hypocrites. It is not a faith that you can't comply with. Life is life. And in our life, we things happen. You know, everybody has their road to take, and things happen. It's just life. You get sick, you have kids, you get married, and a lot of times you get divorced. You make mistakes, you fall down, you get up, you bruise, you get in car accidents, you run out of money, you pay bills, you try to pay bills, you can't pay bills, you go bankrupt, you stand up, and you keep on fighting, you keep on running. And your faith in your belief in God through Jesus Christ keeps you motivated, keeps you going, and keeps you sustained. And it's not by what you have that says who you are. It is who you are that says who you are. And I want to go there and for just a moment, because what you're seeing and what they're portraying, I don't think it is good for what I believe, but I definitely know that it is not what it is. And I think it's putting a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And faith has no color. Faith has no gender. Faith has no age. Faith, in, you know, come to Jesus as you are, where you are, how you are, and don't limit who you are in him. And we understand that all have fallen and come short of the glory of God. So you are not God. So you're not going to walk a perfect life. So I want people to hear that, but I also want you to understand that the imaging that they're portraying of Christendom today is not what a Christian is, and I will apologize openly for them, because the Bible says to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, because but by the grace of God, there go the rest of us. And I'm paraphrasing that, but just so that you understand it. Good morning, local caller. How are you? Hello? See, they called in. Good morning. You there? So I'll continue my monologue. And there is a disconnect. You know, we're not, and I'll be perfectly honest. We are not doing all that we could do, and a lot of us are not working as a cohesive unit, and there are a lot of us not holding up the banner of love and the banner of compassion, and I'm saying for the minister, the preacher, the teacher, there's a lot of craziness going on in all, and I'm just talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about other faiths. And I'm even going to exclude the Catholic Church, because that's Catholicism differently than Christendom, because Christendom is not a faith. It's not a religion. It is a way of life. It has no denomination to it. Denomination is division. It has no division to it. And so it is not what you are project, what you, it's not. And it is appalling. And I guess I brought this up. I was checking out my Facebook page this morning, and I was reading some stuff, and they told me that there's another reality show coming on, and it's called The Preacher's Exes. And they are exaggerating the most negative things I've ever seen in the Christian church. And they are magnifying it. And there are some good preachers out there that really live the life that they sing about, that they preach about, that they talk about. There's some good people out there that do what they say they're going to do. And people are people. People are just straight up people. They, you can cut them, they bleed, and they all are not perfect, but what's going on right now is really a travesty. It really, really is. I watch, and I'll call them out, I watch Mary Mary, I watch Preachers of L.A., I watch the Preacher's Daughters, and now the Preacher's Exes. Then they got somebody else coming, they got another show coming on, and it, all of it's just craziness. And people look at me like, Tracy, and I'm like, and I can't refute what they're saying, because what they're saying is right. It's wrong. It's not of God. And don't let you think that it is of God, because it ain't. I'm not going to tell you that it is. I ain't going to sugarcoat it, tell you, oh, yeah, they, no. So they might be being, they might, you might be seeing them for who they are, but that don't mean what they're doing. It'll never lead a person to Christ. Hey, good morning, Jeff.
What you talking about, Willis?
Man, I'm talking about craziness. I'm serious.
Yeah. Oh, I say, I was totally fed up yesterday.
What'd you see?
I didn't see anything on TV. That's the whole thing, because I refused.
No, Jeff, they got the Preacher's Exes. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you.
That's all I can stand. I can't stand no more.
They got the Preacher's Exes. Mm-hmm. They got the Preachers of L.A.
Do they all live in Texas?
They got the Preachers of the Preachers of Atlanta coming out soon. They got Mary Mary. They got some other crazy show I don't know. And they got the Preacher's Daughters. Now, you know, if you have kids, and if your child is crazy, that's a, you know, that's truly a testament of who you are. Let me quit. I'm sorry, but I had to get that off my chest because it was really aching me. And that's not who Jesus is. That's not the faith. Those of us who are born again, that's not what we live.
Uh-uh.
That's not who we are. That's not what we live, and that's not what we profess, and that's not what we preach. And that's not in my Bible, and that's not how I live. And I just want y'all to know, those of you who don't know, no.
No, it has nothing to do with it. And
no.
You're seeing a lot of foolishness happen. And I feel very bad for those that are seeking the truth, and they go into this, you know, situation now where you see these people looking like fools.
But, you know, I'm going to say this. They don't look like fools.
True.
They don't look like fools. I don't think they look like fools. They look like prostitutes.
Because the Bible
says a fool says there is no God.
Uh huh.
So they look like prostitutes. They look like a new modern prostitute.
Well, I don't know about prostitute because I don't know that they're prostituting anything. But prostitutes are about business. They're not about business.
Yeah.
No, they're about splurging. Prostitutes don't really just splurge. They have a tight ship. They run a tight ship. They have to, and they're run like a tight ship in many instances. You know, it's a business. It's a very serious business.
And you don't think these guys are doing that?
Mm-mm.
What are they doing?
They have used what God gave them, a gift of communication that God gave them, to bastardize the gospel. They have made it into a showpiece. They've made it into an emotional outburst, because they know that that's what's going to get people to write a bigger check in the envelope. And so therefore...
I was just talking about the ones on television.
I'm talking about the TV ones and all. They have made the gospel a thing of just... people are going to really hold it in disdain. They're not gonna like.
I mean, if you're not a believer,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know Christ, and you don't have that, why would you even remotely look at Christ?
You wouldn't think, because you say, well, there's nothing to it. They're just the same as I am.
They're worse,
and they're worse in many instances because they have power to do it. See, they have power.
I'm telling you, I have to show you the clip.
Mm-hmm.
At a preacher. I'm serious.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I don't think the and wait a minute, and I ain't mad at the preacher's exes. I'm mad at the preacher because I don't think they're lying on them.
I know a lot of stories out there.
I don't think they're lying on them. See, my problem is I don't think they're lying, Jeff.
I understand.
And if they're not lying on them, that's a problem.
It's a problem.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
I think Jeff is tired of my song.
I love the song.
I pushed the button and Jeff says, you need to get another song. I can't get another song, Jeff. Not right now. You won't find me one. Won't nobody find me a new song. This is a good song.
Absolutely.
So why y'all got to
have
that
nothing in it for the Mac, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have nothing for a Mac. All I got is Terrell Williams. And that's my boy. Check him out. Happy They won't say nothing. They just listening in.
Oh, okay.
Hey, 621. Oh, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
All right.
The number is 347-945-5229. It's 26 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And I hope you're having a good day today. It looks like it's going to be like, what's today? That is not today's weather. It looks like it's going to be beautiful today. Where's my weather at?
That's
the weekend.
Oh, well, they got to give me the forecast.
I need to know. I'm looking for the date. Bottom of the hour today.
Well, you got to get
it. Right now, it's 31
else.
Degrees, and it's going to go a little bit higher today. It feels like it's about 25, humidity is about 28%. And it's beautiful outside. The sun is shining, and I hope you're having a good day today here in Northeast Ohio. Today, it looks like it's going to get to about 53 to 55 degrees, and I'm happy to see 50.
I'm happy to see anything above 40.
Hey, 621, your mic is on.
231-621.
261.
Oh,
261.
You're a little dyslexic there,
yeah.
You?
There you go. Uh-huh. 261, your mic is on. They still ain't saying nothing.
Okay.
What's the point? Don't tell me. 261-621. I'm gonna give out your whole number in a minute. You just cause you call in and won't say nothing.
You hit the one.
Local call.
Good morning, Tracy.
No. Don't let him talk.
I have to.
He was on another station.
I don't mind.
And I do.
I don't mind.
I'm prejudiced.
I'm not prejudiced. I don't mind. Where have you been?
I was glad to hear your voice, man.
Where have you been?
How you doing, man? Tracy, if you go to your class reunion, all the good things you've accomplished in life, radio station, you big with the Republican Party, you know what I'm going to say to you?
What?
About that time you wore that ugly dress to school or the messed up shoes you had on. That's what excites people. That's what sells. So you could bring a good preacher in. We do his life story. Give him a reality show. That'd be boring. But you bring me Reverend Ike with all the bling bling and the money and whatever else he into. That's what's going to sell. So...
But the question is, I know it's about money. You know it's about money. But why would I, if I'm supposed to be who I am, why would I take it on? And
see, the reason why I called you, and Jeff is right, I was on another station this morning, but I feel sorry for someone who's seeking Christ, and he thinks that is Christ, what he sees.
Me too.
That's what I said. That's why I called. When you said something kind of like that, Jeff. That's the cat I feel sorry for.
Yeah, me too.
That's not Jesus at all.
And see, that's what I'm saying. This is not who we are. This is not what we represent. And I'm looking, okay, I know that the world wants to exploit us, but my question is, why would you take the check? And take the check on one hand and then want to tell me something on the other hand.
That's where I'm talking about.
I don't understand that.
It's human nature. You know what? I'll answer that question. This is a dilemma that was in my mind yesterday. You know who Ursay is?
No.
He owns the Indianapolis. He owns the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
He got stopped this weekend for a DUI. Now, I'm a criminal justice and psychology major. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with it, but let's just say I was a cop. If I would have stopped Bob Ursay and knew who he was, I think I took him home personally and said, "You owe me one."
You've been like them cops here.
No. Don't do it like Mahoney County. Don't do it like they did Mike Shortino.
I think I had to do it. I said, "Man, I must be wasting my time going to school because that's taking a bribe and probably three other infractions I done broke." But the money he got. Yeah, I'd have took him home.
What? Just for the specter of
to see his house?
No, I could care less about his house. I want those club seats.
Ooh, ooh. You know, you can go to jail.
I mean, it's worth the chance.
No, it's worth that chance.
But back to your point, the religion is just all crazy. I don't even watch those shows. I watched one of the ex-preacher's wives of Atlanta. I said, you know, that's blasphemy.
So you did see, you saw that, the ex-preacher's.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
That's some crazy stuff, ain't it? You ain't seen a church. That is not, no church I had
nothing to do with. I know that's right.
It was, I mean, I was like, y'all wasn't doing that, but, you know, but rooking the preacher as it is, but and she said, and I was the mistress. I'm like, oh, I wouldn't want to be giving out no name.
Mistress.
She's right.
Mistress.
No, she says, I was some of them, the ex-girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But one said, I was the mistress. I was like, wow. And then one said, I had an abortion. And I had this, and I had my tubes tied, and I did all this. And I was in the hospital for 3 days. And when I came home, he was on Christian Mingle trying to find another girlfriend.
Yeah.
Are they naming names?
I'm going to the beginning.
I don't think so.
From the beginning, they all had on too much makeup. That's what my mother would have said.
There you go. Now, what is too much makeup? You wrong.
My mother, they Pentecostal. They hard on them, makeup and lipstick and all that. So
don't get me started, because I talked about some Pentecostal folks over the weekend. I don't understand some stuff. I have to tell Jeff during the break. I won't blow them out on air, because they had folks not wanting to become saved because they was crazy. Now the kids is crazy and they celebrating crazy. I'm confused.
You know, I'll tell you one thing and I'll let you go. I saw an independent film on YouTube, and it was about religion. And they took four different people, and I just tell you about two of them. The one guy didn't like black people. So when he died, God was black. Had a black dude, he didn't like Chinese people. When he died, he saw a Chinese person. And, you know, it really made you think, you know, everything you hated, you know, you lived your life around all this life. That's who you did it under the name of, you know, in the name of Jesus.
No, that's
who you ran into when you. That's who judged you when you died. It came out of Germany, right?
So you're doing pretty good. We haven't heard from you in a while. You in school, making a lot of money, making a lot of noise.
I ain't making no lot of money, but you know what? I graduated this winter.
Oh, get that!
Wow, that's awesome. That's good.
All you got to do is get in there and do it. You know, that's my message.
Then what you going to do?
Keep going. It'll just be my associate's degree, but I'm going to go ahead and get the bachelor.
Okay, so 2 years. 2 years?
I did 2 years. I'll have done 2 years in a year and a half.
That is awesome.
Ain't that crazy?
That ain't crazy. That's awesome. I'm proud of you.
Well, you can work with the youth, too, man. Because, you know, many of them need counseling at a certain age. And I don't know how much of a degree.
I think I want to go to law school.
Yeah. Oh, really? That would be good.
That would be good.
That's where the money at.
No one
ain't. We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to talk about Dr. Malenki, though.
Okay.
We ain't going to talk about Dr. Judge Malenki.
No, don't talk about the judge.
Oh, here come the judge.
That's where the money is.
I like Malenki in spite of.
I will say this: he might have got caught up in some stuff that he probably and it blew back on him. But being a probate court judge, he was the best.
There's no doubt about it.
I agree with you. He got his thumb got over his head. That's all.
Yeah, he was the best. And misunderstanding. It's kind of sad. I don't know all the details of anything, but it was just.
I think I'm sad to hear it because I knew of his father or his grandfather. Who was the coroner? His daddy?
Yeah.
His dad.
I knew him.
And delivered half a Youngstown.
Yeah.
He was OB.
You know why I like him? And I really will let you go. You know, he used to give money to the Pearl Street Mission and McGuffey Center. And no one said nothing about that. You know, this back in the day, you know, this a white cat used to give us money to, you know, get a basketball and whatever.
That's right. He was that way. That's why people liked him. And
he bought our trophies.
It's just a wonder. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say he paid for our trophies one year in Midget League football.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have nothing to do with McGuffey Center. So,
well, listen,
I feel sorry for
Mark. Yeah. Well, listen, I got to take a break. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm. I listen to you. I just don't have time to call you.
That's all right. I'm just glad you. I'm just glad you're around.
I saw you on TV.
That wasn't me.
Was she there last night?
No, that wasn't me. That wasn't
no,
me.
No, I saw you on TV. They was asking about something happened with the Republican Party.
That wasn't me.
And they was talking. They was talking to you. That was you.
That,
I got that wrong.
You actually got a question.
It was that wasn't last night. That was a couple of days ago. It was a couple of weeks ago about the election.
Oh, okay.
About the
yeah, I remember
the,
that.
That wasn't me.
Yeah, that was. I got that song. Don't try that.
It wasn't me.
No, that wasn't me. See, this you can't. Now listen here. Now you can't be calling other radio shows and not calling me. Now see, now I let you not call nobody, but you can't call one and not call the other. You know that, right?
He just pissed me off. People who bash Youngstown, you don't like Youngstown, leave.
See, I told you, Omarosa.
It was so funny because this person complains all the time. He said, I don't like my ex-wife. I put three states in between us. I was rolling when you said that, man.
I don't get it. You don't like Youngstown, leave.
My driveway.
Listen,
I live a good life here. I live a good life here. I mean, I know it's crime. It's crime everywhere.
Yeah.
So what you going to do?
Keep on living.
Yeah.
And Youngstown doesn't have that much crime. I got to take my break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Youngstown judges continue their fight to improve municipal court facilities in the city. Testimony is going on in Columbus, where a special master appointed by the state Supreme Court is hearing arguments in the case. The judges say the court facilities are not well maintained and are not in compliance with legal standards in Ohio. Jury selection is underway in the Willie Wilkes Jr. murder case in Youngstown. Wilkes is accused of murdering 20-year-old Aurora Wilkins on Park Avenue last May. Police say she was shot to death while holding a baby in her arms. The case could result in a possible death sentence. And former boxer Kelly Pavlik is expected to go on trial in May for an OVI charge. In December, the State Highway Patrol pulled him over on the turnpike in Jackson Township after someone reported an erratic driver. Pavlik refused to do a field sobriety test or a blood alcohol test. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Here it is, everybody's favorite time of year, income tax time. Right now, Legacy Financial Strategies will do your income taxes for just $79. Here's David Gollner.
Legacy Financial Strategies offers complete income tax preparation for only $79 for ages 50 and over. We also review last 3 year tax returns, includes short and long form, schedules A, B, D, E, and free e-filing. We have every state tax form. Call toll-free at 800-264-4963. Our address is 3087 Innovation Way in Linden Point. That's Harmonies, Pennsylvania.
That number again is 800-264-4963. 800-264-4963. Don't sweat this tax season. Let Legacy Financial Strategies do your taxes for just $79. Some restrictions apply.
Hey, Dad, how's it going?
I'm okay. I'm still a little sore.
You're lucky you didn't break something with that fall you took.
I'll be fine. Just need to watch where I'm going.
Dad, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been on my mind.
What's that, son?
Just hear me out. What do you think about moving to...
Not that retirement community thing again.
I went online and found out about Copeland Oaks. It's close by and looks like a great place.
No, not for me.
But, Dad, with Mom gone and you home by yourself, I just want to make sure you're okay.
I'm fine. I'm not ready for a nursing home.
Dad, it's not a nursing home. It's a retirement community with younger, active people just like you. It's not like it used to be. They have really nice apartments, even real homes in a neighborhood, plenty of activities, good food, and they've been around for a long time.
I don't know.
You can still do everything you normally do, only you have people around who can help if you need it.
Well, maybe.
You know, they've even got a stocked pond.
Now, that's the best thing I've heard yet.
Call 1-800-222-4640 or go to CopelandOaks.com. Copeland Oaks, a faith-based retirement community. People of all faiths welcome.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, call A Place for Moms, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Call now, 800-489-6410, 800-489-6410.
Attention cable TV customers. Tired of paying the high cost for your television and high-speed internet? Digital TV has a solution for you. Write down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-916-6698. That's 1-800-916-6698. To qualify, all you need is a valid bank-issued debit or credit card. Digital TV represents all major satellite TV providers, including Dish. We offer free DVR and HD upgrades, along with free installation. Digital TV is even offering new subscribers free HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, and Stars. We have TV packages starting as low as $19.99 per month. To qualify, you must be a current cable customer ready to switch to satellite TV. All qualified customers get flexible payment options with no long-term contracts and no equipment to buy. Call now and receive a free upgrade. 1-800-916-6698. That's 1-800-916-6698. 1-800-916-6698. For a limited time, activation fees may be required for some customers.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
This is my story, and my playlist tells it. I love taking my sons to baseball practice. Reminds me of when my dad used to take my brother and I to our Little League games when we were kids. My favorite part of that time was listening to the radio with my dad on the way to the park. With RDO, I can share those memories with my kids and make playlists of the songs I used to hear with my dad. With 20 million songs all in one spot, it's easy to do. RDO.com, the best digital music site out there. This is my story, and my playlist tells it.
Download the RDIO free app today to start your musical journey.
Do you know what that sound is? That's your new digital marketing department. And that'll be your new web designer. And that's Haibu, where these experts are joined by many more, from web designers to search marketing specialists, who work hard to get your business noticed online and on mobile. Best of all, Haibu can do it all for you, or give you the tools to do it yourself. To find out more, go to Haibu.com. That's H-I-B-U.com. Or call 877-938-HIBU. Oh, that'll be your next new customer. HIBU, made for business.
This time, it's personal. The local talk show that keeps you thinking about local, regional, national, and global issues. Let's get back to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
What I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, you can take a break. Hot air balloon that can go to space in the air, and I don't care, baby, by the way, because I'm happy.
Tell me my song, it just does not have cross appeal.
It
It has everything, but you can't hear it too much. You get sick of it.
Okay, I played a different version.
That don't make no difference. It's still the same song.
It's not the same song.
Same song.
No, it's not the same. It's not the same. Not the same at all. Putin, Jeff.
Putin punking us.
Now, listen, I heard this morning
uh-huh.
that you Republicans are just never satisfied.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too, yesterday.
And so why is it that you guys always want to go and not because the best people who could handle this with diplomacy and represent the American people and what needs to happen here in Russia with Prime Minister Putin.
Uh-huh.
Is it President Putin or Prime Minister?
President Putin.
He's President Putin, isn't
mm-hmm.
he?
I believe so. Maybe Prime Minister. I don't know. I'm having a slow day.
My question is, why is it that you guys, I mean, President Putin,
mm-hmm.
the best people that can handle it is President Obama, Putin.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
And State Senator Kerry, State Secretary
of State. Secretary of State, yeah.
Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
So why won't y'all just applaud them, support them, and speak with one voice and stand behind him when they speak? Why would you go against them? That's just rude.
These are the most inept people ever. Carter wasn't this inept. And he was pretty inept.
Listen, don't talk about Carter, because the last person that talked about Carter, you saw what happened to Romney.
I don't know what happened to Romney.
You know, remember the 47%?
Well, the thing is
that was Carter's grandson that didn't like him.
Yeah, well.
So he filmed it and put it out there.
Yeah.
So you be careful what you say about Carter, because, Carter's grandson's listening.
Carter is turning cartwheel, I told you. He's probably having barbecues every week at the Plains, Georgia ranch that he owns. And, that he is no longer going to be seen as the worst president.
Who?
Carter. He will no longer be seen
and
as
good
the
morning,
president.
Eric. No.
Absolutely.
You think this is going to... Wait a minute. No, President Obama, he's not going to be the worst president.
Oh, yes, he is.
He's going to be the first black president. He'll never be the worst.
He's not the first black president anyway. He's the second black president. But
who's going to be the second?
Oh, I never remember the man's name. I just...
You're talking about Hanson?
Yes, Hanson. Thank
you. He was the president before the Confederate, before the United, before the Constitution.
It doesn't matter. He was over this that we live in here.
No one ever knows his name. No one ever knows anything about
him. The first president of the United States of America.
That's black. It's President Obama.
No. Yeah.
The United States.
Unless, of course,
Bill Clinton.
Dwight Eisenhower really was mixed.
Ike wasn't black.
Well,
you'll never get that out.
Well, I don't know for you. I don't know. Who knows?
They're not going to exhume his body for that one.
One drop of black blood, you know.
Jeff, I was still trying to convince people that my boy, St. Pat, was black. Yesterday, I tried to tell him he was black.
Nobody
wants
to hear that.
They told me he was Italian.
I know.
But he's not Italian. So he's black.
He's not Italian.
I know that. You know that. But
mm-hmm.
they don't believe me.
Right.
They think
I'm with you.
They think it's a joke.
I had a very interesting discussion
Woo-hoo.
Yesterday. With a young lady from the area. She's a smart person, but she had this thing about trying to tell me that black people had so many opportunities and they have messed them all up, and that's why they're in the state that they're in, because they chose to do.
What opportunities did we have?
Well, they're talking about, black people, poor people do get a lot of handouts in here in America.
But that's not opportunity.
Well, she thinks they're opportunities because she couldn't get certain things to go to school or this, that, and other. And I don't deny the young lady. I understand where she was coming from. But she was incorrect because I told her, I said, really what the problem with the black community is are white liberals. And I said, and white liberals destroyed the black community. I said, now, and I told her the statistic, but she didn't want to hear my statistic. Okay, but I told her, up to 1964, the most stable family unit in America was the black family. So now what happened? Why did that change at 64 and then start going the other way in a very fast rate?
What did she say?
She didn't know.
Was she a black lady?
Mm-hmm. No.
She's a white lady.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone asked me yesterday, what solutions have Republicans put into action and or into the House to try to make Obamacare better and or to fix things? And I was like, but you have to understand, you can't do it alone.
You can't shine a turd.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hi, Eric. How are you this afternoon? I got a private caller sitting here in the local queue. Good morning.
Which Mike is that?
I got Not So Blind Mike.
Not So Blind, okay.
Hey, good morning. Can I give you my theory on what happened to the airplane?
No, what is it?
Oh, it's real simple. Putin hijacked it. That's how he was going to get the 239 votes he needed to win this election over in the Crimea.
Yeah.
And if it works, watch. Democrats will be hijacking planes for the next election for voters.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
That just may be.
That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. It's as crazy as everything else I've heard.
What kind of name is Putin?
Russian?
It's mispronounced and misspelled, but we won't. This is a family show.
No.
It really is.
Good morning.
Hey, Tracy.
Good morning, Stanley. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
I'm listening to what you're saying this morning, Jeff. The only problem I have, and it comes back to what we said yesterday again, is when you use your stats to confirm whatever you believe, it's okay. But when I go with stats of we're not the best health care in the world, we're not the best in this, you come all over the place and say, Stanley, you need to count how many people we are. You need to do this. You need to do that. Really?
You don't. You need to listen. You need to listen to what I say and not hear what you want to hear.
I'm not hearing what I want to hear, but if I'm coming with
you are definitely hearing what you want to hear.
Tracy, I'm going to the internet. I'm going to the World Trade. There
Stanley,
are the people who study
Stanley,
every
Stanley.
Country.
What you're looking
okay,
up
so,
is what you
okay.
What
so they're
you
not
look,
good.
Stanley,
they're not good.
No, okay, listen.
Okay,
what,
go ahead.
You, again, what you're looking up is what you hear. You're not looking up what I said. There's
that's,
a major
that,
difference.
That's why.
Okay.
You,
okay
you're
so,
thinking
so,
we're
so
saying one thing that we're
the,
not saying.
So Tracy,
when
wait, I
listen,
tell
Stanley, when I say that we when I say to you. Then don't cut me off until I finish, and I'll tell you when I'm done. When I tell you that we have the best health care system in the world, or so I said the best health care in the world,
mm-hmm.
I am not talking about the vitality. I'm not talking about the statistics. I'm talking about overall measures of scientific execution in America when it comes to health. I am not talking about access to health care. I'm not talking about the mortality rate. I'm not talking about any of that because that goes into another pitch. When I said the best health care, when you go into our hospitals here,
mm-hmm.
you can get almost anything that you want to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology and the care, quality of care that you get if you're in one of our hospitals, even at our best hospitals, is better than any other care, any other. It's just amazing. Even you got beds that float down the hall now, so that you don't get bed sores. So when I
but
say
Tracy.
That,
okay, go ahead.
Didn't I tell you? I didn't tell you when I've done. So when I say that, everyone does not have access to the quality of health care that they need. But when you look at American health care, even your poor have an access to health care that is of a great quality than other countries. In other countries, there are many who, if you do not have any means, you will not get the same health care as everyone else.
That's right.
Okay.
When you talk about the system, not everybody is a part of the system, and a lot of it's not because they don't have access to it. It's because of ignorance and not knowing. I said to Diva yesterday. I asked her yesterday. I said, "Did you have good quality health care when she went through her crisis?" She said yes. I said, "Did you have money?" She said no. She said they took care of her. Grand. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but she,
even
she,
people.
But you didn't let her finish what she had to say. Also, she said a couple of things that contradict what she said. And you're coming back. So if I'm going back to what you're saying we have the best healthcare because of the technology and everything. I would challenge that.
Okay.
If you're going to make if you would go with that statement, I would challenge that and call Canada, France, Denmark, Germany, and find out.
But why do they come here?
Because if you are wrong, Tracy, then you just destroyed what you just said. Don't
can
come
I
with it telling me why do they come here. Let's first find out what you just said. You said, and I quote, you said we have the best health care. We have the best
health
care.
No,
what
she actually said, Stanley,
you
go listen to the recording of yesterday. I'm tired of the debate, Stanley.
I'm just repeating what Tracy said.
What she said was we have the highest survival rate of cancer.
No. I'm not going to the
subject.
No, I'm not going to the
longevity.
That's not what she said.
And you picked a country where people have had the highest suicide rate.
Tracy, that's not what she said. That's not what she said.
She
I'm
said,
not going
yes,
and
we
listen
and
to the recording
Mike,
of
yesterday's show.
Mike, I'm not going what she said. I'm repeating what she said. She didn't talk about the best life expectancy. She didn't go there. She just said
you
it.
You did.
I'm not going there.
She
said didn't.
We have among the highest cancer
Tracy,
survival
did you go
rate
there?
In the world.
Tracy, did you go back
yesterday.
To life expectancy? You didn't.
Yesterday, I didn't say life expectancy, but I will say this.
Exactly. She's talking about, she said
that
we.
And we have a higher probability of success for a treatment. We the world
absolutely.
In that. We don't lead every
Tracy,
category, but we lead in
Mark,
more categories.
I'm not going there. I'm not going
but then
there.
You
I'm
said
going
longevity,
to Mark.
And then you started
Mark,
doing socialist
Mark,
countries like Sweden,
Mike,
but they also have a high suicide
Mike,
rate.
Mike, I'm not going there. I'm going to what Tracy just said. She said we have the best technology, and around the world they have the worst. That's what
no, she didn't
said.
Say the word. She didn't
no.
They don't have it as good as us.
And our poor here, Stanley, you're cherry-picking what your ears want to hear so you can argue.
That's right.
Tracy, I'm not cherry-picking what you just said. I'm just saying I don't believe what you just said. I challenge
I know.
You
and
what
Stanley,
you just said.
Stanley, let me say it to you this way. There is a reason why they fly in here from all over the world.
Hold on,
Stanley, to come see our doctors, to come to Cedar Sinai, Cleveland Clinic, Johns Hopkins, and the Mayo Clinic.
There's children.
Okay. There's a reason why they come here. Tracy,
do you know that there's a reason that they come to Canada to find out about their hospital? There's a reason that they come to Denmark to find out.
Stanley,
yes, they do. Tracy, they do. They do.
That was
trust me, they do. So let's not just act like it's just the United States. They do. Also those things. What happened again? Hello?
Hello, Stanley?
Yes,
is this
go ahead.
Stanley? It is.
Go ahead.
Stanley, you won't agree with anything that
it's not a question
I
agree.
You have an argumentative nature.
I don't have an argumentative nature.
Yes,
but if you're going to make a statement that you're going to say that the United States.
How did you get through school? How did you get through your school?
Did you argue with
your professors?
No, if I had something to teach, and if my professor had something to learn and made me teach, I went when my parents always told me to not just go with what people say, to go get the information and find out for yourself. Don't just believe what people just say to you. So if we're saying to us, you're telling me, you're making a statement that you're saying America is the number one in healthcare. Fine, okay. Why is it the number one in healthcare? And you're telling me that all the rest of the countries don't have the same technology that we do. Before making that statement, don't you think you need to find out if that's true?
Well, if a person makes a statement, that's their statement. Okay.
Okay, but so I'm asking you as an American, what am I supposed to do when you're making it? Go ahead.
What you want to do, you want everybody to think like you.
No, I don't. I want people to think for themselves. I don't want. No,
but
I don't. Go ahead.
If they disagree with you, you're not at an ending. You just go on and on. And
no,
there are people who are going to disagree with you, and you're going to disagree with them. Okay,
of course.
Why don't you make your statement and leave it alone?
But that's what I said. I made the statement that I do not agree when she said that we have the numbers.
Well, okay,
numbers
hold it. That's all I said.
And everybody jumped on me like I said, Tracy, before you make that statement, make sure that you call all those countries and say, you know what, we have, I don't know, this technology in cancer. Do you have it in a hospital? And if you do, then you're not the number one. If the other country has the same technology than you, then how can you say that we're the number one and we have the best technology? If they don't have it, then you could say, hey, Stanley, I called this call, I called this place, I called that place, I called that place, and they don't have that technology. Then you could make that statement, America has the best technology.
But in the first place, she didn't say they didn't have the technology.
No, she did. She said, I am so surprised at what we have in our hospital. We all have this technology. And I'm like, okay. And she said, other countries don't have
Wait a minute. Hold on. Do you believe that they don't have the same technology we have?
No, I don't. I think they have
okay,
the same technology
all right.
that we
hold
do.
On. Hold on. A lot of the things that we have were discovered over there. Is that right?
I don't know who discovered it. I have no idea that. I'm just going to what she said. She said that we have the best technology.
No, wait a minute. Whoa. First of all, she's not a Bible. Is that right?
No, she's not a person. No, she's not talking about the Bible. She's talking about healthcare in general.
Stanley.
Go ahead.
Anytime anybody makes a statement, they have to be correct according to you.
No, if they're making a statement, come with facts and stuff like that. If I'm coming with facts and things like that.
Do you have all the facts?
No, I don't. And that's the first thing I ask
her.
Hold on.
If you don't have all the facts, how can you certify that the other person don't have their facts correct?
Because I'm asking her, what technology are you talking about? And I have no problem calling back Canada or Denmark. I have family all around the world. I'm telling them, can you please go to the hospital, and they know which hospital, and ask them if they have that? And if they do have that technology, then your argument is squashed. I have no problem
she
calling back.
She didn't say that they didn't have the technology.
Yes,
Wait a minute. She's talking about having access to the technology.
No, she didn't talk about the access.
No.
The access wasn't there. She was not talking about the access. She was talking about the technology that we have. She didn't say, I'm not even going with the access, Stanley. I'm talking about purely the technology of Americans. We have the best technology when it comes to healthcare. That's what she said. She didn't talk about access. She said, I'm not even going there. I'm just going to exactly
there, Stanley, you know and I know, a lot of the stuff that we use here in the United States, other people in other countries invented it. Is that true?
Yes, I'm sure it is true.
Okay, so we don't have a monopoly on knowledge, right?
True.
Okay. So if somebody in some other country has the same knowledge that we have, but the people do not have access to it, who has the best technology overall for the people, for the benefit of the people? And that's what she's talking about.
Okay.
But
that's what I wanted.
And I agree with you.
If that was true.
But you are nitpicking. The problem
I'm not
is
nitpicking. I'm not nitpicking. I just want to give you the example. You're telling me, and I repeat what you're saying, that other countries invented the technology. We decided in our country to take that technology and to do something about it. If other countries are not doing that, don't you think that our country is number one? That's what you said. I'm going to answer that question. So if I come back to what you're saying, if I'm telling you that our country has the technology, talking to technology A, and I go to another country and I call them up and say, any technology that you say we have, do you have technology A? It's either yes or no. If they do have it, then they have the same technology than we do. And they're able to give it to the people also.
But now the question is, why don't all the people get it?
And that's the question here. What technology are we talking about that they don't have access? Because I'm sorry, in Canada they have all the access that we do.
Yeah, but it takes months to get an appointment.
Yes,
family.
Yes. That's another thing.
If I get injury today, I can be having an MRI tomorrow morning
thing.
At 9 o'clock.
Mark, Mark, that's...
Whenever I am not...
He got an all-girl band.
Yeah. Again? Or
again.
Okay. She's always there. Look,
he played with his foot last night.
Her boys.
Is he just a bad boy or what? Is that better?
Ladies and gentlemen, Madonna.
Hey, you're listening
that's
to the
girl,
SOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it is 8 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, and you're listening to Prince. Third Eye Girl, as he forms, she's always in my hair. Third Eye Girl is, I guess, the girl band.
Man. Man, that's what.
What?
This is kind of stuff that he's taking me.
I sent this to you a couple weeks ago.
Come on, y'all.
I didn't
you
see
must
it.
Gotta
listen to it.
I didn't see it.
But this is what you call a real musician.
Not only musicians, but
genius.
A genius
at work.
Doing it. Everywhere in the world gonna play that song because it goes from funk to rock.
It transcends all gender, all genres of music.
As we would say, that's one for your head.
You know what? It did.
It takes you.
I had to play the whole song. Sorry, guys. You guys, that's just 3 minutes of your life, but you had to hear that. And remember, you heard it first here in the Mahoning Valley on radio here on Tracy and Friends.
That's a whole song, though.
No.
I think it is.
But she's always in my hair?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is just a debut. Played on the 3rd of March. No, the 5th of March.
I want that. Because I got the guys that can do that.
Check this out, Jeff. He put his guitar on the floor.
Yeah.
You got to hold on to that. I'm sorry. Hey, huh?
Prince ain't no joke.
He is no joke. He
Prince
is no
joke.
He is no joke.
Oh,
but you know what?
God.
I have to say, I'm very, very appreciative about how everyone's rallying around the comeback of Arsenio Hall. Because the first couple of weeks, it was very weak.
It was.
And now people are just glad to have him back on. I mean, Prince has not been on a talk radio, on a talk show in years, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. I don't think he's been on this since Arsenio.
And people are rising and coming and supporting and making sure that Arsenio gets back because everybody thinks that he was duped. He had the number one night show, and then all of a sudden he was taken off years ago. And now they're rallying about behind him. And I have to say, whether you like, I don't like his politics. I think he's a liberal wacko. I got issues with a lot of things, but I celebrate him being back and I celebrate him being there. I'm going to, before the day is out, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the music, in the radio industry that is really bothering to me to my core. And I'm going to try to get some friends of mine on to talk about this because mm-hmm. what we don't realize is as African Americans and as Jeff was saying earlier, you know, we've had opportunity, and we have squandered it, and I'm talking about those of us who know better.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we are grasping at straws trying to make a living, and the liberal society that we live in now is getting ready to squash us like an ant.
Mm.
And it's just that simple. The liberal society that we live in is getting ready to squash us like an ant. And the problem is we have given them a fly swatter and some bug spray. So I'm going to go back and finish up with Stanley, and I know you guys were probably fighting in the middle of the storm. So hold up. 221, who is that? Is that you, Eric?
No, this is another person. But
hi,
anyway,
another person.
I thought,
good morning.
Yeah, I thought we were on a private conversation. Otherwise, I wouldn't have did that.
Then what would you do?
So
I didn't hear
apologize.
You. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you.
No, you didn't.
So you,
good.
No, I didn't hear you.
So no, he didn't.
What did you do? What did
but
you do?
I was supporting the fact of your statement because I believe what you are saying is true. Stanley disagrees on anything anybody says. It has to be written in some kind of writing. I don't know. But anyway, what I call really to talk about was what you talked about earlier this morning concerning
go ahead.
Christianity.
Yes, sir.
And I wish that we had more dialogue concerning what's happening in the Christian world. I have so much doubt because I've run across some people who are saying today that Israel does not exist. And I'm really shocked to the core because it is contradicting to what that has been related to prophecy. And we are not, most of the congregations today, I believe, is far, far away from understanding prophecy. But anyway, I'll get back with you on this at another time, and I appreciate everything that you are trying to do. So keep
well,
on with the good
thank
work.
You. Hey, keep us in your prayers. But I'm just saying, I think that, you know, when you talk about Israel, and we will have this conversation coming up very, very soon,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have some people on from across the country, and we're going to talk about what they call eschatology and where we are in the land of now and the time of now.
Uh-huh.
It's when it comes to biblical prophecy and when it comes to the church. I don't think any of us, when we thought of a, where the Bible says there'll be a great falling away,
yes.
We would see it the way we see it now. And
mm-hmm.
I see that we are seeing it. And I don't think we would think it was be manifested on television. I don't think we saw that in our vision. And
uh-huh.
right now, because the Bible says if, even if it be so, even the very elect of God. And if you
Amen.
Look at what's going on right now,
uh-huh.
you see it happening. And it is
yes.
happening right before our eyes. And I don't think we expected it to be the way that it is.
But it's happening. It's happening.
It is happening. And when you look at Israel right now, you know, Israel is the – no one's paying attention to the four blood moons that's
mm-hmm.
getting ready to happen in the next 12 months. Even and
mm-hmm.
even your preachers don't even know that this is happening.
They don't know the significance of it. That's
they don't. They
right.
don't. See, they don't even understand it. And it's time that
I
we
agree.
Actually begin to start saying, "Hey, listen, you need to look up at the signs of the times and the stars and the moons and the galaxy." And as things
uh-huh.
are beginning to align, as it was in the day of Jesus' arrival, it is happening today.
That's right. That's right. Oh, keep on with the good word. Keep on.
All
right,
I love you.
Yeah,
and we love
you.
Thanks
too.
A lot.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Stanley, just so that you know, you don't have to believe that America is great. You don't
no,
have to believe
but,
that America
– but
you
Tracy,
don't have to
I
believe it.
Know, Tracy, I just want to know the truth. If you're going to make
I know.
It – I listen to what you say, and then I do a research. And I'm the first one who told you that when you were right about Obamacare, what did I do? I apologize. I said you were right.
And
I
I'm going
no to
– Stanley, Stanley, email me your email address. Just email me. I'll send you the links. America's health care. Now, don't get me wrong. It has been exclusive on many sides. And right now, because they're trying to make this Affordable Health Care Act, it's going to become even more and more exclusive. At least right now, I had the opportunity when I did not have insurance to go to the best hospitals in the country. The Affordable
okay,
Health
the
Care Act, the Affordable Health Care Act is going to make sure that I don't even have access to them.
There you go.
But I want to go back to what Diva said. It's not about the affordable health care. I think the final goal is to have a single-payer system. That's it. That's what I want. What is the problem with that? That's what I want to know. What is the problem with that?
The problem with a single-payer the problem with that's for the missing. The problem that's going to happen with a single-payer system is that it's going to completely exclude people like you and I.
How is it going to exclude people like you and I? Because you're not going to pay for health care.
Hey, listen, Stanley, I'm not going to pay for health care. I'm going to pay for it by my taxes. But as far as me being able to, but as far as me being able to choose the best health care for my for me, the doctor I go to, Dr. Nazem Jaffer. That's my doctor. He's been my doctor for the last 40 years. I go to Dr. Robert Fox at the Cleveland Clinic. He is the leading neurologist at Cleveland Clinic. I will not have access to them if they withdraw from the system.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is true.
Are you telling me that if you go around the world and you go to single-payer system and they have the same doctor as you, a doctor that specializes in it, and they love that doctor, that since they have single-payer, they can't go back to that doctor? That's not true. That's not true,
Stanley.
Jeff. I have family personally in Canada that have doctors that they love and adore, and they've been with that doctor for 25 years.
Just because they love and adore their doctor. If their doctor withdraws from that system, they will not have them.
Here goes the clincher.
Yes, but that doctor doesn't withdraw with that system because that system's been there more than 25 years.
This
I don't understand what you're saying.
Canada's system is intact with its doctors in place where they were placed. Ours is not. And this is what's going to happen, and this is what is happening right now. The plans that the government has made don't include all the doctors. All the doctors cannot be in that plan. Only so many can be in those plans. And so therefore, if you have to go to one of those plans, because they can't.
I'm asking you why. Don't tell me why.
Stanley, because 25 years is not 12 months.
Right. And not only that, Stanley. In other words, on these plans, you're going to have, this is a fictitious number, but I'm going to say it. We're going to have 500 doctors that are on plan A, 500 on B, 500 on C. If you have a C plan and your doctor is an A doctor, or he has opted out of the system because he's going strictly cash, which they don't allow, but they're going to do this. You're going to have a change out here because people are not going to just go along with this system. Even if you have to have black market medical like you have drugs now, okay, you're going to see people not do it because there's no incentive to be good. You've just taken the ability of everybody to own a Cadillac, a Buick, and gave everybody a freaking Pinto to drive. How about that?
So that's what you're saying. So, Jeff, you're saying that the healthcare profit should be your incentive to be good as a good doctor? I'm sorry.
That's the reason why you have some doctors that are more well off than others.
No, you don't. You don't.
Can I finish? Can you finish the statement?
Ahead.
You have some doctors that are better off than others because their skill level is so high.
Yes,
Dr. Carson is the foremost pediatric brain surgeon in the world.
Stanley, and why is it that when they decided to have to separate the twins, why do they think they traveled all across the world to come to
United States,
John Hopkins, to have Dr. Carson?
Okay.
Perform that.
Stanley. No. Okay. See, you want to bite the bullet, but you don't understand. There is a reason why all of your foreign doctors come to America. Just said it. Why?
Okay. Yeah,
why?
But there's a reason also. There's a lot of people. You make a statement that everybody around the world want to go to USA to have their health care, and I'm sorry to say that's not
that.
True. I don't know. Well, that's what you said. Everybody fools around and say, let's go to the USA if we have a problem with health. No, they don't.
If they have the means and they have the resources.
You know how many people go in Canada?
If they have the means, they have the resources, and their needs can be met in the United States and nowhere else, they make it here if they can. You have to understand, you can't have it both ways. America, we don't have to leave here to go there unless we do it because of expense. But they have to leave there to come here for the best.
Tracy, I had a friend of mine that his wife was responsible for greeting all the people that come to the Cleveland Clinic and getting them, you know, they come in on their private jets at either, you know, Cleveland Hopkins or Burke Lakefront, depending on which they were. You had people from all over the world, kings, presidents. You had heads of state. You had all types of people coming here to the Cleveland Clinic because it is the best facility in the world. It's not just in the United States. It's the best in the world. Nobody's better than Cleveland Clinic.
I could say the same thing from the General Hospital in Montreal. You know what I mean?
No, you can't.
People drop down with there. Yes, I can. I know some people
Stanley, you're not listening to what I said. I don't care whether they go to Montreal's hospital, too, at times, for those that want to go there. I'm telling you that the Cleveland Clinic is the foremost best facility in the world.
It's in certain disciplines. John Hopkins is good for neurological.
Right.
It all depends on the discipline and their specialty. And in America, you have choice. But you don't have to leave the States to go get it. You might not be able to afford it, but you can get it if you got it.
What's up in Buffalo?
Tracy, are you telling me that in the other country you don't have choice? Are you telling me Canada you don't have choice?
Yes, you
don't have choice?
You have choice
if
you have money in Canada. If you have money in Canada. If you don't have money, you don't have choice in Canada.
Yes, you do.
Cannot get treated immediately. If the system says
you cannot be treated immediately,
you can't pick up the phone
and
call another diagnostic clinic and go there tomorrow. You have no choice.
Go ahead, Deanna.
You get funneled into their system. You're on a conveyor belt to the meat grinder, and you can't get off it.
But he can't find any good thing to say about the United States, and he enjoys Canada. And maybe we could take up a collection and...
No, he's close enough.
Stanley,
I'm going to make a statement that you can't argue with. And here's the statement, Stanley.
Over the weekend happened, and you know how the president is famous for doing things over the weekend.
Right.
Last night there was a program on where they were talking about the Internet. And they were talking about on the 15th of March, our president signed something.
Yep.
And I don't fully understand it, and I know how well-informed you two are, and I appreciate you so much. And I was wondering, could you, you know, illuminate that whole issue so that we understand better? From what I gathered, the Internet, which was developed by our government.
No, it was not.
Our military.
No.
Oh, well,
no.
That's what I understood.
No.
What are you going to say?
It wasn't developed by us.
Who developed it?
A guy from Germany. Go look it up. Initially, the World Wide Web was actually in it came from overseas.
What was the guy's name? Because you had to call him to get the number. That is true. But he did it in conjunction with the U.S.
But it was overseas. It was not. I had to do that because I thought it was American bread.
Don't think
we didn't put it on a superhighway and put it on and steroids.
You know what?
Well, it sounds like now we're giving it away. We're
now that's what I heard.
And that it will come under the control of either the European Union or the United Nations, and people will be taxed for their usage of the web. It just sounded so bizarre, and it's supposed to go into effect in 2015.
Hold on just a second. It says the United States government announced on Friday that it would give control of the Internet to a global organization. Fox News extensively covered this development, but the network morning and evening shows ignored the monumental decision. The United States plans to give control over the body that manages the Internet names, addresses, and a move that could bring more international cooperation over management of the web, but will make some United States businesses very, very nervous. The Commerce Department said Friday it plans to relinquish its oversight of the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers or ICANN, which manages a number of technical functions that serve as signposts to help computers locate the correct servers and websites. Newt Gingrich has tweeted that it is a global Internet community that Obama wants to turn the Internet over to. This risks foreign dictatorships defining the Internet.
Absolutely. And that's what he just did, is he turned over the Internet, all its commerce, all of everything that it does for communication information. And now they can control what you can and cannot do on that Internet.
That's what I was...
Outside of this country. And that's the same idiotic type of thing that President Bill Clinton did in giving the launch coordinates to China so that they could have rockets as accurate as us, thinking that you're going to buy your way into the hearts and minds of your enemies. And this is the foolishness that is going on, and why you have what's called the New World Order. And that is both sides of the political spectrum, and very difficult for us to negotiate.
It says the practical consequences of the decision were harder to immediately discern, especially when the details of the transaction is not yet clear. Politically, the move could alleviate rising global concerns that the United States essentially controls the web and takes advantage of its oversight position to help spy on the rest of the world. On Fox, Huckabee expressed his concerns. Huckabee came out and said, people want to use our ideas, fine. We will share them, but we're going to own them, because if we develop it, it's ours. And if you accept it, fine. If you don't, then develop your own Internet and spend the resources to do it.
Right. And that was going to be my comment about health care. The one thing we do that the rest of the world doesn't do, and we have a breakthrough, Stanley, that research, that process and everything is available for the entire world to have, free of charge. They can send their doctors here to learn it. We teach it openly. There is a treatment that Cuba alleges they have that cures the kind of blindness that I have. They won't tell the world what it is. I ain't getting on a plane and going to Cuba and letting some guy cut my eyes.
Well, I'll say this in defense of Stanley's and others, that there are procedures done throughout the world that our FDA or whoever has not approved for treatment here in the United States, and some of our people do leave and go to these other countries for those. South America is one, a couple of the places in the Middle East as well that will do some of these non-traditional treatments. And that's the only thing that I would judge our system on is that, because we don't get things out fast enough, even though empirical evidence shows that these things work, and when you don't have anywhere else for certain people to go, doggone it, let them do some of these treatments that aren't off the beaten path, but they work for certain people. Because that just may be the difference, but that's our country.
And just a brief history of the Internet. The Internet began as a development of electronic computers in the 1950s. Initial concept of packet Internet originated in several computer science laboratories in the United States, Great Britain, and France. So it was a collaborative.
Okay.
The United States Department of Defense awarded contracts in the early 1960s for packet network systems, including the development of our PACNIC.
But it was for us.
Mm-hmm. But it came, and I believe the first guy, his name was, the number 347-945-5229. His name was Khan? No.
I can't remember.
Leonard Kleinrock, after he published the first paper entitled Information Flows in Large Communication Nets, on May 31st, 1961, and it goes on from there.
And you, well, I can understand countries having
Pionki.
A concern.
Hold on, Pionki. Go ahead, Deanna.
I just feel we're making ourselves more vulnerable, and we are stepping, closer and closer to one world order of control.
Oh, absolutely.
And all of our privacy, and all of the information that we guard. It's now, it's hard enough to control that in our country, but you figure now if this is given, exposure to the world. Get it?
I am. Hey, South Carolina, you think your mic's on too? I just don't understand. The NASA program was didn't we downsize our NASA program and,
yeah.
and give it over to Russia?
Well, you hired Russia.
They had to rely on the Russians
for a ride to the space center.
So can I? Whoa! Stop. Okay. Let's slow down. I got to take a break in just a second. And then I'm gonna let Pionki in. I gotta let South Carolina in. Russia, Putin, right? Because you know sometimes I get a little confused. Russia, Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Putin crazy.
Putin ain't crazy at all.
Yeah, Putin crazy when it comes to America. But now Putin crazy. We gave everything over to Putin. And so how do we get to the how do we hitch a ride now if we don't have our own car?
And you're going to talk – wait, this is the foolishness of them saying something yesterday. And this is why I'm hoping that somebody hears me and thinks, how are you going to be paying the Russians to go through some doggone space center up in space? And you got people on board that International Space System. Who's going to bring your butt back if you put things against Russia?
You went somewhere else. My question is...
No, this is right where we're at.
Look, Jeff, my question is...
Uh-huh.
If I gave Putin my car...
Yeah.
How am I going to get home?
That's what I just said.
So my question is...
No, not only that, and then you tell him you ain't going to give him gas money. That's the word I'm talking about. This is the ridiculous.
So wait a minute.
So why did we
give Putin my car?
You gave Putin your car because you wanted to create international camaraderie.
So why are we giving everything?
Sanctions. I couldn't think of.
Why are we giving everything away?
We gave the keys to the castle.
You're trying to buy worldwide situations. That's what you're trying to
I'm
do.
I'm so confused.
Well, these technologies, other countries will come upon these technologies too. I mean, there's no technology that's absolutely secret. You know, one thing you were talking about medicine that I'm against is the way Westerners were going to other countries and want to patent their plants that they use for medicinal purposes and happen to let the West have some. So that's totally wrong also.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
I mean, that's what happens when you have a weak leader. That's all there is to it. When you got weak leadership, you know, they do stupid stuff like this. You know, they have this ideology that, I'll play nice with the rest of the little kids and everything else. Well, you're going to have to fight a bully by being a bully, and that's the only way. That's the only way it works outside of the United States, and people have to understand that. You can't be nice to a bully.
I got to take a break. But my question is, why would I give? I mean, just because I let you drive my car, I don't have to give it to you.
You're headed towards.
That's what happens when you think that you can do better. Everybody else in the past is stupid. It didn't succeed because we weren't the ones running it. And so Obama and the rest of his colleagues think that.
But this happened before Obama. I mean, this was along the way. This was set in motion along the way.
Every time you have a full far left progressive leader, which the Clintons were the last ones, okay, before this one, you have them doing stuff like releasing.
Go ahead, Jeff. You release?
Yeah, you're releasing information to countries that are not your friends.
I got to take a break. But when I come back, I'm going to take 2 minutes and then I'll open the phone line. Because I have some real, I'm serious, y'all. I'm going, call me Jim Trafficking Sister.
Be me.
I'm confused by some things and I need some clarity. I'll be right back.
Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center, Find the Green Witch Workshop catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 33.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Very good, Sal. I want to ask you a question. You're saying that that's what happened when we become diplomatic and we don't interfere. So is it better to do a war and do the contrary when that's what happened? I could tell you the same. That's what happened when we don't interfere. But what happened when we do interfere? We don't do it better also.
Oh, what I'm saying is when you've got if you've got a bully,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to fight like a bully.
Okay.
You're going to have to use the same tactics that they use. You know, you can't just go
but
in there.
That's the problem. The United States is the bully.
Exactly. So what do you think that when we did interfere, we didn't cause harm, like I said yesterday again, around the world? Because you make it sound like Americans never interfere, like we've been always peaceful and did nothing, when we did interfere many times around the world.
United States is the one that's going around causing all these problems in the world. Israel, look
United
at the Israel. You know what you complaining about what Crimea did? Well, yeah. Yanukovych was democratically elected, and it was certified, verified, and monitored by EU monitors.
Yeah.
Same thing with Morsi.
You know,
Same thing with Lauren Gbagbo of the Cote d'Ivoire.
Yeah, it's like I don't understand, Sal. When we did interfere with the CIA that went against an election in Chile, where were you saying that was wrong?
Alente, absolutely.
Where were you when that happened? We did that. Where were you when Reagan decided to interfere in Chile again and basically take weapon and take money to basically say we're those are combatants that they're the same way as the founders of this country, and he put money to them and gave them army and weapons to go against their own people and kill them. Where were you when that happened?
Actually,
yeah,
I was in the United States Marine Corps at the time.
Okay, and do you think that was fair? Do you think that was cool?
Yep, I sure do.
So we have the right to interfere to a democratic country that has elected somebody, and we are not for that person, so we have the right to give him weapon to the opposite and kill those their own people. Is that America?
If they ask us, yeah.
They didn't ask us. Who asked who? The people voted for one person, had that person elected. We decided as CIA because it wasn't in our advantage. We don't want that person. Do we have the right to interfere, yes or no?
Do you have a specific country in mind, Stanley?
Yeah. I could go all the way from Chile. I just have to go to Reagan.
Ecuador.
Go to Reagan. Let's just go to Reagan to what he interfered.
Panama.
Do I need to go to Chile, Panama? Do I need to go through the list? You know your history better than me.
You said the Philippines. How do we interfere there?
I'm saying that when Reagan came, Yeah, when Reagan came, didn't he give weapons to the opposite, even though those people, he said that those people were freedom fighters and everything. He gave weapons
in the Philippines? We took down Marcos, who had been a self-appointed dictator and king for like 40 years. We took him down by supporting the people's wishes. And we supported Marcos. And we took him down when he became evil and corrupt. So it's the opposite of what happened there. We did give the weapons to the freedom fighters who took down the dictator. That's why they have a democratically elected government now. Your facts are backward on that one, Stanley.
Okay. And,
remember Melba
Robert...
Marcos, the big joke about all her shoes and how they spent billions, and how when he died, she left the country and they pumped billions of dollars out into Swiss bank accounts there, and they were robbing the country? Do you remember all those stories on the news?
Okay, but do you remember the story that we were responsible for putting dictator? Like we were responsible for putting Pinochet.
I agree.
Do you remember that story?
I agree.
Do you remember that story,
Stanley? I agree. We have put dictators into place around the world that were more favorable to our agenda. Yes, every country
was
does
that
too,
right?
By the way,
was that
you
right?
Know,
it was.
First
right
of all,
when
you
consider
had...
the global politics of the world. Is it right to enslave entire nations and roll tanks in, like in Poland and Czechoslovakia and places like that in the 1980s and 1990s? They were still doing that. None of that aggression is sanctioned anymore. But then when you have the world divided into two major camps, one camp believes that the individual matters more than the government. The other one says that people only exist to serve the government. It's two basic ideologies. It's the devil and it's God, and it depends which one you like. Is God and which one's the devil?
Okay, so
the United
what
States.
Me?
Let me tell you about the Philippines. You had Senator Albert Beveridge of Indiana in 1900. The Philippines are ours forever, and just beyond the Philippines are China's illimitable markets. The Pacific is our ocean. I mean, it's that mentality that came out of the.
You know.
Hey, we're back.
You locked the door.
Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am here. It is excuse me. It is 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600. And the number here is 347-945-5229. And Dina called in and asked a question about the internet, which led me to just industry at large and things that we are giving away and that we have sent overseas. And that we've exported our whole knowledge base overseas, and all of our technology, all of our industries, all of our jobs. We want to know where our jobs are in America. You will find out that most of them are overseas. And the reason why they're overseas is I'm confused, but we keep on giving away everything, and I'm not quite sure why we keep on giving everything away. I mean, if you look at our television, you will not find a television made in America.
Who can afford it?
Well, that's true, too. That's true, too. I mean, but if you look at the history of it, we were the innovators of TV, and they're gone. Cars, they're assembled in America, but the parts are made overseas, the majority of them. I mean, steel. Steel was revolutionary to America, and look at it now. Steel dumping in America has killed many a city in the United States. And I'm so confused why we keep on giving everything away. Why would you give everything that you own, that you have, to other countries?
Tracy, United States do the same thing. You got ConAg, you got Archer Daniel Mitchell, who dump crops down into South America where the local farmers cannot compete. Therefore, they had to fire all their help. Then they help enter into the United States through the southern borders because they are farm hands. They end up in your states where these corporate farms are, and they work on these farms in states where minimum wage does not apply to that activity. It's just a vicious circle.
But my question is, I mean, we give away more technology. We give away more information. Why would you give away the World Wide Web? Why would you do that?
Why would you do that? Hold on just a second. Local call, your mic is on.
This is Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
I guess the reason why our government does that for them is because, one, big corporations, they don't want to pay a livable wage to people here in this country. They don't want to deal with the unions and stuff like that.
But I'm talking about the federal government.
Well, what federal government is in, you know, they're in the bed with corporations, and you know, many of our politicians are paid off by corporations.
No. Yeah. Why would you give away your space program to Russia?
I will explain it to you why. Because, you know, our own politicians are pretty much behind that. They, I mean, and then corporations.
Why would you keep on voting for them?
It lets me know that neither party has the American people's best interest.
So
both sold you out. So that's probably why you should have maybe a third party in this country. I don't know. I was going to talk about a religious matter, but
no, you know you wasn't.
But number one, I was going to say I was happy to see my girl Diva yesterday, and I was hurt a little bit when Diva did say she had a boyfriend, but I can understand that.
Steve,
huh?
Stay on topic.
No, okay. That's all I have to
okay.
say, Tracy. I mean, if Diva is on there, she can.
She Diva not on. Diva not on here. She's not here today.
Well, she seems like she's more.
Steve, we talk, this is not Diva Day.
Yeah, I know. But
hang
the
on.
Reason why I bring her up for it because she's more informed than I. As you know, when I was on it, I didn't say anything. And the reason why is because.
Steve.
Yes, ma'am?
I got to go. I got five other calls. Get to the point so I can move on.
Well, I just said that I think if, you know, number one, if corporations, they don't want to deal with the American people and the American worker, you know, because the American worker wants to be paid a livable wage, and they'd rather go to a country where they can have people work, where they can don't have to deal with, I guess, with OSHA and the EPA and all that other stuff. They could dump and just do anything. So, you know, when they used to be able to do that in our country, so that's the only reason why I think that companies, including our own government, and if our own government, if it's, you know, being paid off, and then you have lobbyists and stuff like that who were congressmen and senators who get money from corporations, then what can you expect? All I can say is that our American, those who are in government, have sold the American people down the drain.
Okay.
As you can see, there's a lot of service jobs that are not even paying decent wages, although we still have companies here, but we don't have as many.
Okay. Pionk, you agree with that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's the EPA and other regulations that ran corporations beyond these shores. And also, if you want to sell to other countries, you can't build something here and sell it over there and expect to be able to do so at a price that people, that the manufacturing over there can't outperform you.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, the EPA did try to tell, like, when we had the steel mills here in Youngstown, the EPA tried to tell the steel mills to put in filters and stuff like that. But the steel mills did not want to apply to that. They, you know, so they didn't want to apply to that, so they just went out of business, so to speak. So,
sure.
But
my question is, This is my question. Why are we doing it? If you are a representative government, that means you have your people who are elected by you to represent you to do what you choose. Why would you give away your car and then get mad?
I got to go, Miss Streets.
All right. Why would you do that? Stanley, I mean, you said that we're not the we're not the best health care in the world, but all the technology we give away. We come here, people come here from all over the world to go to our medical institutions so that they can learn from us, and they go to our engineering institutions so they can learn from us, and then we pack them up, and then they go home and they help their country fight against us.
Yeah.
And if Alex was here, he would tell you this one too. Oh, yeah, you don't have me. Okay, if Alex was here, he'd tell you that down in Cuba, they do have a very good training, medical training facility. Okay, and what happens though is people think that the people have access to that, and they don't.
They don't.
They don't have the same health care as the heads of state have.
No.
We're
like that here.
Well, to a certain degree, but you can.
They don't even let you in. They pass laws and say this is how you live, but you don't live this way. Hold on just a second. 440, your mic is on. He was there. Now he thinks I'm crazy. South Carolina, go ahead. South Carolina?
He was there, too.
Okay. Mike?
I don't know what happened.
Who's in here? I got Mike. Either y'all talk all at the same
time
or y'all don't talk
I'm
all
here
at the same time or not at all.
I'm here minding my business.
Oh, hi, Pionki. You ain't minding your business. That's not what you do.
But Tracy, coming back to what you're saying, to the first point that you made, which is basically saying that we have the technology and healthcare and this and that. The only problem with other countries who has a single payer system, if I go to Denmark, France, Canada, Germany, and everything, is that they have to wait. But they have the same technology, and they do have the choice of choosing whatever they want to do.
They have to wait. That's the only thing I agree.
Yeah, they have to wait for the line and things like that, but they choose their doctor.
Really?
They choose
whatever
they want
to
do.
Well, you have to wait here too, Stanley. If you go to a comprehensive health clinic, you want to have your tooth pulled, and comprehensive health clinic is the one that offers services at a sliding scale, you have to wait. You may have to wait a month, 6 weeks.
The only thing you get immediately is emergency care. Do you know how hard it would be to wait for 6 weeks with a toothache?
Well, no, if it's an emergency, if you got, pain out the gazoo, they do have provisions for you to come in and be treated. Hey, you can go to the emergency room on that. But if you got dental work or something like that, tooth pull, they have you to wait.
Is it not true when it comes to emergency, if you're poor and you don't have no insurance and everything, you better have the total thing or else they kick you out and they won't do something?
No. Where did you get that at?
Really?
I can't speak for y'all crazy people that live in big cities. Because if you're crazy enough to go to a county hospital in New York City and it's in a gunshot ward and that's where you go, then you get what you get. But I've never had that mentality. Even when I'm poor, I've always gone to the best, and they've never kicked me out.
So you're saying you're poor, you go to the emergency, you think that you will have no problem because you have
family,
no medicine.
Family, I've been poor, and I'm serious. I was sleeping in my car in Los Angeles, and I had a medical condition. And they took me past hospitals all the way to Cedar Sinai, which is one of the best in the world also.
I'm telling you, in New York, it doesn't work that way.
That's why you need to get out of there because you got crazy people. We're trying to tell you, those crazy people in New York, they don't want you to drink soda. They don't want you to walk across the street. And they told you they're socialists. You need to get out of there because they're going to kill you. Between Bloomberg and Cuomo and who's the new mayor, they're going to kill
De Blasio.
They're going to kill all y'all.
I understand your point of view when you're saying that it doesn't work with you in your state. It doesn't work that way. Another state, it does. You don't have health care. Good luck.
But people need in New York City, if that's how it works, all y'all crazy blue state cake turn red, always think you're right, socialist, Marxist, communist people need to get out because they're crazy.
Have they done anything with de Blasio closing down those charter schools that had been working?
Nope.
Yeah, that's another point.
They are going full speed ahead with that one. Most people are trying to figure out what his motivation is. And, you know, it's basically, I believe he's catering to the teachers' unions up there.
He is.
Of course he is.
The same way the president was catering to the unions when he stepped into office.
And closed the open enrollment so that the poor kids couldn't go to the better schools. That's really good. That's really somebody that's looking out for us, you know.
Like education is not the key to success.
Sigfield Friends School.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, is it not the same thing that happened in Chicago? Where the ex, I don't know his name, the person that was with President Obama.
Rahm Emanuel.
I think he tried to close a lot of school in Chicago and everything.
He did.
So can I ask you this?
He did. He did close a lot of school.
Yeah. He closed a lot of schools, but I wasn't against Rahm Emanuel closing those schools because they had too many schools to support. That's number one. But number two in Chicago, that's not what's going on in New York, and that wasn't what was going on in D.C. They're closing schools because they're charter schools. And
do you find yourself?
That's what they're doing. They're closing charter schools because they don't want them winning in education. They need the public schools to be rotten and to keep all those people very ignorant, and so that they vote for them.
You
got to explain something.
Can you guys go back to Michelle? Remember Michelle Reed? Mm-hmm. She was the person that they brought into Washington, D.C., because Washington, D.C. had the worst schools in the country. And they brought her in, the mayor brought her in, and she revamped the school system in such a way that they were beginning to learn and beginning to excel as an educator. And then all of a sudden, you saw where the teachers' union made the parents, got them all excited to come out and to get rid of the mayor and to get rid of her so that they could take control over the schools again so that the children would not be educated. Do you guys not find that to be strange? Why would you let that happen? I'll take a break. I'll be right back.
WSOM.
Jeff, you still there?
Yonke, is it not true?
Jeff?
I want to ask you a question. Is it not true you're poor, you have health insurance, you don't have no insurance, you go to the hospital for emergency, that the emergency...
They can't turn you away at the emergency.
They could turn you away and just say, hell you. Until
no,
it's
they can't.
Really
they have to stabilize you.
They have to stabilize you, but they don't have to treat you.
Well, in stabilizing you, they are treating you. They give you, you know, something for your pain and so forth and so on. Okay. But see, what that is, like we have a Born Jewish complex here, and they profit like $300-some-odd million. Well, they are required to provide free service to go against that type of profit. And you know another thing, Jeff was talking about Cuba. During Katrina, the Cuban government offered to send some 1,600 medics, field hospitals, and 83 tons of medical supplies to ease the humanitarian disaster. The State Department spokesman Gene Carmack asserted last week that Cuban medical aid would probably not be needed since there has been a robust response from the American medical community. Now, that's totally crazy.
Wow.
I remember that very, very well.
I don't know if you heard what she said in the beginning. She said that if we go around the world and let's say here we have a super operation or super cardio, whatever, she said if you go around the world, we won't have that. If you go to Canada, anywhere around the world, the hospital won't have that. It'll be only in the United States that they'll have that.
Stanley,
and you won't have able to choose.
Stanley.
Maybe
one major medical breakthrough that's come outside of the United States in the last 5 years.
I'm sure I could find it very easily on doing Google. We have to stop
I'm
thinking that
you,
we're
we
the
have,
number one.
We have the most cutting edge medical care
based
in the
on
United,
what?
In the world
six,
is in the United
six,
States.
Six. Based on what? What are you basing it on?
Basing
if you're telling
it on
me
the
some
fact Saudi president
the fact of
the United States for terror. That's based on what?
Okay,
yeah,
but
slick. You got Americans. You got Americans that go abroad to have medical procedures taken care of too.
Just wait a minute.
Okay, go ahead, Six.
And you forget about the feeder system.
Okay.
I have a spinal cord injury.
Okay.
I have seen the doctor at University Hospital in Cleveland that worked on Christopher Reeve. He has seen me. He did a procedure on me. Remember the procedure they did on Christopher Reeve, the guy who could start breathing on his own?
Yes, yes.
I've seen that doctor. That doctor performed a procedure on me. It was unsuccessful.
Okay.
My urologist here in little old Salem, Ohio, is one of his students. So when there's a breakthrough in research that man does, my doctor knows about it.
Okay.
No place else on earth do you have that kind of a feeder system.
And I would challenge you that. If you're going to make that statement, challenge it.
You show me where.
Challenge it. Go to Germany,
you show me
go
where.
To Canada. Go.
You show me where. You show
I'm
me.
Telling you the, I'm telling you,
you tell,
the place.
You
six.
Show me.
Six.
Because
I'm telling you
it.
The place. Six. I'm telling you the place. Go to Germany and ask them. Go to
no,
Canada
you me,
and ask
you
them.
The name of the hospital.
No, I'm showing you the place. I'm showing you the
name
place.
Of the hospital.
I'm telling you.
And you can
I'm
only go there
you.
If you have money. The German system isn't going to pick you up as a non-citizen. You can't go to a German hospital.
If you were born, of course. But the same thing with
Stanley. Listen, I got to go in a second here, but I've been talking to Mama. You get yourself on an airplane. You get to Pittsburgh. Put you up for as long as you want to stay here, and I'll show you what the real United States looks like. We're going to get you out of New York City.
And I will show you the other way also. I'm sorry. I don't agree with this. I have a lot of family in Canada. I have a lot of family and friends. I ask them the same thing. But Six, I asked the same question at you. I say, man, I'm calling your show, and they're saying you're crazy over there in Canada. They say, you are crazy. They're not happy. They're seeing our health care, and they say we're crazy with our health care.
How long have you been here?
All my life.
How long have you been? You've been in the U.S. all your life?
Yeah. Well, my mom was Haitian. My father was Haitian and everything. So they came all the way from Haitian. They came to New York, and I have family that went to Montreal, and some people went to different places. So I travel.
Okay.
You've
never been
outside
of New York, Stanley.
But what I'm saying is,
in the United
States. Have you ever been to any foreign country other than Canada?
Yeah, I've went to France. I went to Switzerland.
Okay.
I went to Germany.
Yeah. That's Germany, Switzerland. Have you ever been to anywhere in Central America or any place like that?
No, I didn't went to Central America. I didn't go there.
See, I think you kind of got a sheltered view of what the world is all about, man. I really do. And I've seen this before. You know, you read it and you don't experience it. You know, and that can skew you.
Tell me what country I should go visit, and I'll go visit. Go to Yugoslavia. Go to Northeast Ohio. Man, look, Cuba got more doctors. Cuba got a lesser load per doctor than the United States. Let's say a city.
How many people does Cuba have?
They do.
And here's another thing. Cuba has offered to take children, students, and teach them to become medical doctors for free. I know of two out of Milwaukee that we help raise money for. What did that happen in the United States?
You know, it's
hello?
Like,
where did that happen in the United States where black kids can go and learn to become medical doctors? After they're done, they come back and work in a community in the United States, wherever it may be. That's the only requirement that they put on. Go back and work in your own community for two years.
Right, yeah, right. And we take students from Pakistan and India and Africa and everything and make them doctors here, and they stay, unfortunately. They won't go back
but
home
you don't,
they know
but
they're better
but
off
you
here.
Charge them. It's not for
you
free.
You charge them triple the price.
Well, you know what? It must still work
and,
for them.
And I see what
like
you're
it.
Saying. I understand what you're saying, but I'm talking about when it comes down to black kids, they don't have those options. You know, you got a point there. Why in the world would all the black kids – that's struggling and trying to do right. We're bringing people from all over the world and giving them these opportunities. It don't make any sense.
You're going to sound like an ultra-right-wing immigrationist if you keep going down that road, Piyaki. It's insane. The world is upside down, and if anybody is looking for justice in this life, it ain't happening. Justice is what you're willing to tolerate, and you just can't fight every friggin' battle. There's just some stuff
you should manage
what I can manage. Piyaki, you
if you do
steal.
Come out with diseases don't know no boundaries. Diseases would jump from country to country. So it's good in order that nations and civilizations share.
I have a friend who's alive today because he was treated by a South American doctor. He used to take field trips from Yale. He's the head of public health for the university that he's the professor of, and he used to take field trips of students down
It's been 30 years.
Okay.
It's been
healthcare.
30 years since Purple Rain.
Since Purple Rain?
Yeah.
Oh. Don't remember it. I was too young.
You know. Yeah.
Somebody asked me, how old are you? I said, I'm 30 through.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I look like I was 43 years old. I wrote him a check on the spot.
So.
I just bust out the checkbook and wrote him a check. I said, thank you.
You know, there's a reason why God didn't give me the gift of being able to play. My mother wouldn't let me play drum because girls didn't play drums at the time. But if you'd have given me a drum and a guitar, I would have done some major damage and a piano.
You'd have been the Black Bonnie Raitt.
It's not
That's
too late.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I ain't got time for that right now. I'm still trying to learn how to play radio.
Well, that may be, but the thing is,
and then give me a voice to sing. Oh, then that'd been bad.
A voice to sing is all relative.
That is true because they got a concert going on with Cyndi Lauper and Cher, and I just don't get it.
You don't get it.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Since everybody's talking about my happy music, I'm going to go to Prince for a while. And since Prince is one of the brightest musicians I know, you will not find his music anywhere on the internet just for free. You just can't find Prince on YouTube. He's just mean like that. Okay, I'm done. We need to call Prince and see if he wants to run for president. He knows how not to give his stuff away.
Right. Well,
if you want to listen to Prince,
young girls too.
Pardon me?
Prince ought to be teaching classes to young girls how not to give stuff away.
Actually, you know what? Seriously, Prince is a brilliant man. Prince came out in the early 80s. I'm just talking about 30 years ago. He came out 30 years ago and told us that a bustier and a bra was a shirt, and women haven't put clothes back on since. I'm not lying.
Uh-huh.
Have you noticed? Did you realize that?
Yeah.
Remember Vanity Six?
Yeah, his daughters are all going to convent school.
Pretty much.
Probably.
Does he have children?
Prince, I don't think so. I never heard of any.
I haven't either.
He keeps his private life out of the public, and that's something that
absolutely
need to learn how to do.
You know, absolutely.
Sarah Palin took a lot of bashing, but then again, it was her darn fault because she started putting her kids up on stage. That was her fault. She made them media targets.
Well, no, hold on. You don't know what she made them do or not because, kids, she had a teenager, she had a daughter who was 18, 19.
Yeah.
Kids do what they do, and sometimes you just can't control what they do.
Never mind. Well, we could argue that, but at some point, if she's as good as she thinks she is, she could have said to the kid, hey, drag your butt off the stage. No is the answer to your question. And
Mike, do you have children?
Yeah, I've raised a bunch.
And do you have, of your own?
I had stepchildren.
Okay.
Which is even a harder situation.
You control them? You got the opportunity to control them when they be turned 18?
Turned them into righteous citizens, yep. I stepped in just as they were turning into their teenage years, and I fixed the nonsense in 60 days, and they grew up to be good kids.
No, you had control over them. I didn't say good kids. I said you had control over them.
Yeah, I had control over them, yeah, because they learned very quickly. When I said something, it was law. That was it. And I was fair. I was tender. I was understanding. But when we set a house rule, it was a house rule.
And you could control all your children, even the girls?
The girls were the easiest ones. It was the little boy that was hard.
Okay. That's pretty good because, you know, most people don't have total control over their kids all the time. I want everybody to know that.
But I also gave them a lot of myself. I got involved in their schoolwork.
This ain't got nothing to do with giving up yourself. We're talking about just straight up puberty and
you know,
kids.
You're talking about hospitals. Here's an article, the top 10 hospitals in the world, and five of them are not in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
South Africa has the largest. Thailand has the one that has the best medical tourism.
Mm-hmm.
UK, Sweden,
yeah.
Canada.
Yeah.
United States has, and you know, this is, if people are sick. People are sick no matter where they are. And Tracy, disease do not respect boundaries. So if you come up with a cure for a disease in, amongst your research staff, yes, you should share it with other people in the world. I mean, it's the human thing to do.
No, I'm talking about we share everything.
Medical tourism.
Well, look at all the foreign students that's working in research departments in the schools in California, and even
why is
John Hopkins
here?
There in Ohio?
No, John Hopkins is in Boston. Why do they come here to study? I mean, why is everybody here?
Well, the same reason why come American students go abroad to study.
No, not medicine.
Russia had when it comes down to doing oil exploration and gas exploration drilling, Russia is the top spot in the world.
And they share that information with us?
Yeah, American students going to Russia to learn. It's like you have them here. I have a whole Russian community within 3 miles of my house.
And you got a Russian community. They live here, right?
Well, yeah, they live here.
They live here, right? They send their money back, but they live here, right?
Well, yeah, they live here.
See, that's what I'm saying.
You got Americans that live in Russia also.
Let me correct
something. Wait a minute. You got one Russian community that elected a Ghanaian as a mayor. Only black thing in the community. And he was elected mayor.
Well, the Europeans don't have the prejudice. Europeans don't have the prejudice against the blacks that we have here. Because, matter of fact, I had a German secretary when many, many years ago, my construction company, she was from Germany, and she married a black man, and she said what amazed her when she came to America was how many white people there are. And I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, well, my only exposure to Americans was all the GIs at the military bases, and most of them were black in Germany. She says, so we just thought America was a black country.
Well, she just didn't know no better.
Really?
Charles, we're still together these 35 years, so something must have worked for her.
I mean, it worked for her, but she didn't know no. I mean, that even our GIs, even the percentage of African Americans in the military do not overseas don't show you that many African Americans. Not to make you think America is black.
May I just make a comment on medical tourism to Pianki? Pianki, with all due respect, I just don't see medical tourism showing that you have anything other than a proven treatment that you found a way to discount like eyeglasses are in this country. Today, when I used to have to buy eyeglasses years and years and years ago, when they tried to think that would cure my situation, I was paying $1,200 for a set of eyeglasses back in the 60s. Today, you get contact lenses, what, a dozen of them for, what, 25 bucks in a box or something? Because, you know, so a lot of this medical tourism is proven technology, and I don't know why Stanley isn't outraged by it, because they're doing in those countries the same thing corporations do. They're finding people who are willing to work for a hell of a lot less than what they're doing is really worth. That's where the prices get reduced to 30 bucks for a knee replacement.
Yeah.
It's the same outrage, Stanley. Where's the outrage of exploiting those ignorant people who don't know that they should be paid $25 an hour for being a doctor's assistant.
They don't have that opportunity. It's not like they have a union.
Exactly. So the same outrage. Tourism is just another way to make money off of people who are willing, who are so desperate they'd work for next to nothing.
They don't have a choice.
Well, you can go to India and have hip replacements and
sure.
I think some heart surgery. But, you know, I got a friend of mine in California who's a cardiologist infusionist. He's a person that keep you alive on the machine while they're doing those operations. And he tells me he has a procedure where he heats the blood up and it kills all the viruses, HIV,
correct,
cancer viruses, and so on and so on. But he can't do it here in the United States.
Because it hasn't been proven by the FDA. And the problem with America is you have to, before you can try it on humans, you have to pass so many over regulations.
That's what I was talking about.
To get things done, they don't let you die, because if you do, you know, we'll sue you for real.
What is that, cryo something?
Cryogenics?
Not cryogenics, but where they heat up the blood to kill everything. It doesn't quite kill everything, because some viruses are called what they call heat stable.
Yeah.
And they don't die just with. You know, a heat that of 100,
right.
120 degrees, and
right.
you'd boil your blood and lyse all your red blood cells, destroy all your red blood cells if you got up above 120, 125.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, your red blood cells would just burst. So, you know, it's not foolproof, but I know of that procedure.
Well, it's like any other procedure. It's when it's appropriate, when it's not. We can't go down the road of, you know, because it doesn't fit one circumstance. And you know what? Just about every procedure that we have today that's successful, at one time was dismally failure. Okay? Because
yep.
because they need time to perfect it. And I hate to say it, but, you know, doctors bury their mistakes.
Absolutely. Well, everybody buries their mistakes. We don't want you to find out that we're a dummy.
Well, carpenters don't usually bury their mistakes. We get sued.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Falls down. No,
yes, it is. They bury
the
them right deeply in the walls. Deep
Pardon?
In the walls, they bury them.
Oh, Jesus.
Have you seen the foundations?
I have.
Of some of these houses?
We have, Tracy, up in New England, in some of the older houses that were built in the 1630s and 1700s, we were excavating in coal bins and stuff to put drainage pipes in and stuff, and we have found human remains, skeletons and stuff. That led
he probably
to the
fell in there.
Murders and stuff.
yeah, you got a point.
And one job, the boss said to us, I could say this because we're past the statute of limitations, because this one was 40 years
ago.
Ain't
no statute of limitation on murder now, so
well,
keep
no,
your
no,
mouth
no, no.
closed.
He said, dig the ditch around that body. He said, I ain't shutting down the job for 2 years while the forensic people come in and try to figure out who that skeleton is. And he made us, and we were just college kids, so we did what he said.
But I'm just saying, I mean, overall, we don't want to give America is a great country, but we've given too much away. And bad policy, here we go again, bad policy has caused us to do that.
Yeah. But it's okay.
We have
you know,
bad
Tracy,
policy in a lot of things.
We had German scientists come here
after
and help perfect things in the war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, when you come up with your topics, you shoot from the hip, so I can't be thoroughly prepared. But I was just reading this one article that talks about 750,000 U.S. residents travel abroad for care each year. And of the three major things, cosmetic surgery, one, dentistry, and heart surgery.
Uh-huh.
So
why do they do that?
Because the quality and the cost.
No, it's the cost. It's not the quality. It's
no, it is because the doctors come here to learn, go back home, and provide affordable services for the people in their country.
Hold on. You said affordable. I said it's the cost. You said it's the quality. I keep on telling you.
If they come here and learn,
the quality
Tracy.
Is up to a standard that they're willing to
it
pay
is the,
for, but it's the cost.
Correct.
If quality is equal, then it's cost driving it next.
If they come here and learn a procedure, don't they have to not pass the class before they can? Yeah,
sure.
So they can work here. Matter of fact, I think some of them do their intern on those procedures in American hospitals. Then once they get things down
Pat, they go back home and provide the service to...
And a lot of them are allowed sabbaticals to come back because they keep their agreements with their hospitals of residency, and they come back for, like, every couple of years to see what's new, and they spend 6 months here catching up on what's new, and then they go back again. Yeah.
Now, you know, in Cuba, in Ghana, West Africa, which I know very well, they allow herbal, should I say, local medicine to practice right alongside the traditional, not traditional, but I guess you can say the clinical
chemo
procedures.
They call it chemo medicine because there's the doctors who believe in chemicals and there's the ones who believe in more natural ways. So they refer to anything that's not natural as chemo medicine. Yeah, I hear you, Pianki, and that is
you know
true.
the thing that's needed, and I always say they need what they call prevention, like these clinics where people can come in when they have symptoms, and then come in and see what those symptoms are. And they have these clinics that's located in your community. They're strategically located, and people can come in for a sliding scale fee and be tested, have tests ran on them, so on, and understand what it is that's causing this concern you have, rather than letting it get clean, full-blown out of hand.
Yeah. I'll tell you later during the break, Pianki, about my friend who was helped at Yale New Haven Hospital by a doctor from South America when nobody could figure out what was wrong with the wound on his leg that wouldn't heal. I'll tell you that story during the break.
You say you suffer from some kind of blindness?
Am I suffering from it? Well, no, I'm blind.
I thought you mentioned that something about blindness.
Yeah, I'm blind, yeah. Have been.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that? That's why Tracy is so kind to me. Tracy,
yeah, you
sound
like
break? Are we on break?
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you what happened to my friend. Because, like I say, he used to take students down into the jungles of the Yucatan and everything else to teach them third world medicine and what they don't have and all that. Because, you know, again, we're the great Americans. We ride in on the white horse and save the world from themselves, you know. Well, he ends up with this sore on his leg that won't heal, and it was getting worse and worse and worse. And after 8 or 10 months of in and out of hospitals and doctors and treatment and drugs and everything else, one day he's in Yale, New Haven, and this thing's getting worse. They're talking about taking his leg off. And a doctor from South America just happened to be walking down the hallway, overheard the discussion, went into the cubicle, took one look at it, turned to a nurse and said, "Would you go get my lunch?" He goes, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, will you go get my lunch out of my locker in a little paper bag?" And he had a bologna sandwich or something like that with a piece of meat in it. He opened the sandwich up. He said, "I know what to do for this." And he took and put that piece of meat next to this open wound on his leg. And out of his leg comes some, like, 6-inch worm. And when it went for the meat, he grabbed it, said, "Now treat it like an infection." And he would have lost that leg had that doctor not been there and had a bologna sandwich.
That'd be damn.
True story. I can give you the names. That was at Yale, New Haven. And so we don't know everything, and you're right. There should be an MI. There should be a free exchange, a medical information internet website where doctors go and learn things. And we tried to set one of these up about 6-7 years ago at a company that had HIPAA-compliant software where doctors could go on and say to another doctor, "Look, here's what I'm dealing with. Does anybody in the world know what this is?" Because you're right. We get on airplanes and we move diseases and conditions around the world that your doctor could stay 40 years in practice, be the best doctor in Cleveland, and he never saw it. You're not going to get cured. And some doctor in China or over in the Philippines or in Burma or something may go, "Oh, that's common here. I treat that 10 times a week."
There you go.
And I think that's why the Internet is really going to help out in the long run.
Oh, yes. The Internet advances. We have made so many advances.
Yeah.
We have propelled ourselves into the future a lot faster with the Internet than any other method, I believe. Matter of fact, I know because the Internet provides the common person to have access.
Yeah, and Mexico supposedly has a treatment for my type of blindness that involves something about grinding a bull's testicles, except they've never released what it is. There's only one doctor who does the procedure. They claim they have all these miracle cures, but all the people who have been cured live all in communist countries around the world, and they're not allowed to expose what was done, but they all claim they have sight now. And there's no way to document it, and I am just not getting on a plane and going up to Canada to go down to Cuba to let some guy do some treatment that no doctor can even review, because a true scientist, just like you are an engineer, if an engineer builds a certain way, with the same variables anywhere in the world, he should get the same result you get where you are, just
mm-hmm.
like a scientist should. And I believe in the scientific method. But if only one guy can get a result and 600 other people trying the exact procedure, supposedly, can't get the same result, then there's something flawed with the science or the engineering. And I believe in that. I believe in open sharing of information. And that's the one. That's our great thing to share.
You know, yeah. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. Jeff and I are sitting in studio. It's 26 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. I'm going to bounce out of here, and I'm going to go to Rotary. I'm going to be on time today, Jeff. So I'm going to let you just run with it in a few minutes. Hey, like them apples.
Yeah.
So, Tracy's going to go hang out on the Rotary,
you know,
with the sign saying
I haven't
food.
Been to a Prince concert in 30 years.
I've never been, but I would like to.
I went to the Purple Rain tour.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's been 30 years. I went to all 7 nights in Los Angeles.
Oh. You were in the industry then.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't?
No, not then. I had just gotten there. I was sleeping in my car. Why are you playing?
Oh, wow. And how the heck you get in there?
I walked in. I had this, I had this ability to just like walk past people. People just let me in. It was like, cool, okay. That was a whole other story. We won't even go there. We'll have to do that after another day.
Well, let me get this straight. So you could see Prince. You were sleeping in your car. Is this another one of those stories where a black man had a black woman subjected in total poverty?
Mike, what are you trying to say?
I'd pick it on you, sweetheart. I just love your I love your guts. I really do. You're just brave. You're a brave soul.
I was
crazy.
You go
places where angels won't go.
I was nuts. I was totally psycho. I'm psycho now. I'm trying to tell you guys. You guys don't listen to me. I am nuts. But I would just walk in, and they'd let me in, so I'd go. And I'd meet people,
look.
And they'd let me in.
Yeah,
and then I'd become
like
and they just I just found I found favor, even though if I didn't know what it meant.
There you go.
Because I was backstage. I don't know why you playing. I wasn't in. I didn't start walking in the front door for until like 5 years ago. I didn't find a need to be in the front door. The front door is not always the best place you want to be, and that's something that we need to learn, but that's a whole other deep topic for another day.
I love the back door.
You don't understand the back door. I mean, even I've been at the Grammys, I've been at the Academy Awards, I've been to the Soul Train Awards.
Republican National Convention.
Yeah, I've been to the conventions.
Yeah,
I've been to the inaugural balls. I've done the thing, and I will say this: sometimes sitting in the background, looking from the backside, is the best place to be. Sitting in the sideline, you learn where you are.
Yeah.
And what happens is, we don't appreciate sometimes just taking a bird's eye view.
You could have been a radical in the 60s, sweetheart, because that's what we used to do. Everybody was out in front with the press pushing and shoving at the door with the state police trying to get in. We used to go around to the basement windows in the rear of the building and just get in. That's how we took over buildings and stuff as radicals during the 60s.
You learn so much by sitting in the back and just observing and watching, because if you're staying quiet. And that's something that we have not learned how to do. And nor did we appreciate when we were there, because we didn't know where we were was the best place to be at the time, as you just learn things. And I'm just for a few minutes, I'll just say this. We need to also teach our young people that it's okay to keep silent and to sit in the background and learn, mm-hmm. even on our first jobs.
Do you like the movie Forrest Gump?
No.
I like the movie only because it shows you how you could be in a historical moment as an ordinary person, and you could change history just by your presence, even though you're not aware of it. And I think it's parallel to what you're saying now about just being there, observing, and being a part of history. You may not realize it at the moment, but in time, you find out, holy smokes.
I don't do a whole lot of crazy movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen Forrest Gump either.
That was a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Jeff,
it's
did I tell you the other day I've never
retarded.
Seen? Never tells you I never saw E.T.?
Yeah.
Have I told you I never saw The Godfather?
No, this is the one that you should not be allowed to come back on the air until you go look at The Godfather. Now,
yeah,
you should be able to find it anywhere on TV because it's always playing. But
yeah,
you should not be able to be
on the
air.
Have I told you that I watched 12 Years a Slave on the plane because it was there?
Well,
and everybody kept on talking about it, and I thought I didn't want to just be left out in the cold. And when I watched it, I promise you, I will not watch it again.
Yeah, I understand.
I watched Ruth
greatest
once.
Movie ever. Trisha, you gotta see Blazing Saddles, though.
No, she needed to see Calibaloo.
What is Calibaloo?
With Lee Marvin and Raquel Welch.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Lee Marvin hit the horse. Did he hit the horse?
No, that was in the horse. I thought that was in
Calibaloo.
Hit the horse. I thought that was in Blazing Saddles.
Oh, okay.
That was Blazing Saddles there.
Yeah, where they punched the horse.
I used to like Lee Marvin.
Tracy don't need to see.
I'm not watching that crazy stuff.
Oh, good. You would love that movie.
Blazing Saddles
has got
to be the most politically incorrect movie I have ever seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The man sticks his gun up to his head, and well, you can't say that on the air.
No.
I'm gonna shoot me one. I just feel like that.
You guys are so bad.
It was good movies back then.
It was funny. Mel Brooks is a comedian.
Blazing Saddles, I wasn't allowed to watch. I was too young.
Which Way Is Up?
I saw Which Way Is Up.
Okay.
I'm a Richard Pryor fan. I watched all of Richard Pryor movies. I haven't missed any of his.
Well,
did you see Cotton Comes to Harlem?
I didn't like Toy.
I love Toy.
Toy was terrible. That was the point.
I love Gene Wilder.
His acting was terrible. Everything was. I do. I mean, I want quality. I don't care.
I was too young to know about quality of care of acting at the time.
But you should know now.
And I'm not watching it as a adult. I love
you. Cannot come
Brewster,
back on the
Brewster's Millions. I loved it.
No, I didn't like that one either. That was stupid. But
Trading
American
Places.
Trading Places was hilarious.
I love Trading Places.
I'm an Eddie Murphy fan.
Well, it's just not Eddie Murphy. It was well
Dan Aykroyd
done.
I'm Coming to America. I watched
well
like,
done.
And I love what's his name, Richard Gere.
I do too.
Then I watch all of his.
Did you watch him as the gigolo?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm a Richard Gere fan. I just love him in gray hair and black hair. Who cares?
Silver Streak was a funny movie.
Absolutely.
Okay.
American Graffiti.
Nope.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Nope. Throw what? Mama from the Train. Absolutely not.
No, not Throw Mama from the Train. Throw Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No.
You didn't see that one?
No.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
No.
You say you like Dan Aykroyd.
He's all right. I haven't seen what's his name, the Blues Brothers either.
That's a decent movie.
I'm not watching that crazy stuff.
That was fun.
I didn't watch Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke either.
That was funny, too.
That was funny, too.
Yeah.
Have you guys noticed? I have a very weird sense of humor. You have not noticed that?
I've never seen you. I really don't know what you like.
You don't see me laugh too often.
No, not like that. I see you smile sometimes.
And every now and then you see me get a chuckle,
you
but nobody knows what I'm laughing
you
about.
Get tickled or something. Yeah,
yeah, but no.
All right. That's
and I'll tell you this. Seriously, even when I would go to the comedy theater in Los Angeles, and I would see Eddie Griffin and
Eddie Griffin
and I never laughed like that.
Okay.
But I will say this. I loved Robin Williams. Robin Williams and I loved Bebe's Kids.
Yeah. I can't think of his name because you'd mess it up.
I know. Didn't I mess it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
The most gifted entertainers that I've seen were on the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, man.
Tim Conway,
Harvey
Korman.
And all of them, yeah.
You know, that was not a politically correct show either.
No.
Carol Burnett was good. Who didn't I like on there, though? There was a...
Vicki Lawrence?
I like Vicki Lawrence. Vicki Lawrence was good. Yeah.
Harvey Korman?
I loved Harvey Korman.
Mrs. Wiggins.
Yeah. She was a tough lady. But then I'm not a Saturday Night Live person either.
It depends on which year.
Now, I did love... I followed Eddie Murphy from, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood...
the hot tub.
He actually brought black comedy to the forefront in a lot of ways.
He sure did.
Even though I'm not a fan of him playing every person in the movie. Every time he has a movie, he got to be everybody in the movie.
Well,
I got issues with that. Y'all call him up and tell him I said it and see if he cares.
He doesn't care because he got paid for everybody's work.
But I have seen Shrek. How's that?
Shrek was a good movie.
Shrek was a good movie.
Yes, it was. Shrek was a very good movie.
Guys, I just want you to know I'm bouncing out. I'm so glad we had
Wolf
this time together.
Jack. We're going to be out here with Wolfman Jack.
Midnight special?
Midnight special.
Why did they put that on at midnight?
Because that's when they wanted people to be home and out the streets.
Well, they thought you were. All the decent people would, you know, not decent, but the people that didn't live by night, you know, they would be home by 12 o'clock.
Hey, you can't park that animal over there. It's illegal.
He punched a horse. You know, Peter would really get you now.
Oh, yeah.
You can't punch a horse.
They did it.
And I tell you, one of my favorite TV sitcoms was All in the Family.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. With Carol O'Connor.
Absolutely.
I
liked anything Carol O'Connor was in.
And
Into the Night.
Yeah. And as now, as I look back,
mm-hmm.
it was so... innovative.
It was real.
They brought things to the forefront that nobody wanted to talk about out loud,
sure.
And he changed the whole conversation in America.
Yep.
He did.
And the Jeffersons, too, the spinoff show, the Jeffersons. I used to love watching Sherman Helms.
Yeah.
I didn't care for the Jeffersons.
I
like so
the
much.
Jeffersons. You know, I was a Sherman Helms fan. And remember, you only had three channels, so you could only watch so many things in one day.
Yeah. And there was
but
no team,
I will say this. You are right about that, because when you look at the Jeffersons, I mean, George Jefferson, when he went uptown, with the black maid, was the technician?
Yes, Florence. Yes.
Marla Gibbs.
No,
she was the household technician, and she was the maid.
Yeah.
And he actually got to talk to white people like black people wanted to.
Wasn't his mother-in-law related to the wife of somebody here?
The mother-in-law.
Is the mother-in-law? Wasn't Marla Gibbs? Is that Marla Gibbs?
Right.
Okay. There's a connection here of Youngstown.
I don't know. I believe you're right.
It's a bother. Yeah.
I just don't know who.
She's a very...
Whose family are we going to expose today?
Yeah, we're not going to expose them today. We're not going to...
They hit head on that show, Interracial Couples. Remember his son, Lionel, hooked up with, what's her name, Jeannie, the white girl from upstairs? And,
yeah, she was interracial.
Right, and how they became in-laws, and how Jefferson just said, you're right, Jefferson said everything to a white person that any black person always wished they could say with impunity, because he said everything to Willis about being a cracker and calling him names, calling him honky all the time and everything else.
Yeah, he did.
It was funny. It was funny to see, because you felt it wasn't played up. You felt it was honest.
It was. I will say this. What was amazing to me that I found out after I got to Los Angeles, I did not know Sherman Helmsley was gay.
Yeah, that would have took
Well,
me
a
out.
Lot of people didn't. They didn't like it today. You come out.
Yeah. He was?
What did you say,
but
South
you
Carolina?
You know what, Tracy?
Hold on, Pionier.
Tell me something.
Yeah.
Tell me something. You know, people have been so, you know, saying, well, I don't see why so many people are so concerned about why, you know, what I do in my bedroom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they're making a big point about coming out and letting everybody know what they're doing in the bedroom. If it's supposed to be private, let it be private. I don't want to know you gay.
And actually, Ellen said it best. There's a quote that she has out right now about her private life.
Uh-huh.
Even though she's one of the first to come out, and she lost everything she had the first time when she spoke out,
yep.
they took her off television for real.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall just recently came out. One of his shows, he really spoke eloquently to some hecklers that was in his audience. But you know what I was going to say?
He came. Whoa! He came out and did what? Oh, wait a minute, I missed something.
It was some gay hecklers in his audience that asked him a question that why come you don't have a gay guest? And he, you know, he went on and told them, well, how would I know they're gay? And so on, so on, so on. But it's, you can see it on YouTube. But you know what I was going to say? Even during the times we are black.
No.
No, he didn't say he was gay. He challenged them.
Williams would have got that down.
But check this out. Back during the time when we didn't have rights, we had a lot of memorable moments in our lives that when you reflect back on them today, you miss them.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, too, but just going back down movie road now, you got me. Two movies that I think were really, really, really good. One was Platoon.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then The Color Purple, which did not get anything.
It was a good movie.
It was an excellent movie.
It was a good movie. It didn't get anything. It brought a lot of people to the forefront and made Oprah Winfrey a millionaire.
It was more than a good movie. I mean, they captured the South and the dynamics of those types of relationships and the things that people went through in those days and how they went through with each other. That was a key. And when they had the contrast of being over in Africa, sister being over in Africa and this, that, and the other, and her having what she had to deal with here. And then when them kids came up and they called her, you know, her mama
and that was so real. I did not like the movie.
Oh.
And I'm gonna tell you why. I didn't like Roots because it was so real.
Okay.
And the reason why is it shows the American people just what they've done to not only to Black America but to White America also.
Did you see recently where somebody said there's been a lawsuit against Alex Haley? Did that whole thing he ripped off from someone else that wasn't about his family? And it was about some other family, and they've sued him recently within the last 5 years?
Oh, that was longer
well,
than time.
Well, I was over.
Can I ask you this? Why did they sue him after he died? Did they not realize it came out 40 years ago?
Yeah, they sued him.
I guess
him,
it's easier to get
him
not to defend himself. I don't know.
Well, I would challenge that because I was over in Jewfree, and I met the descendants, two ladies. As a matter of fact, the mother looked younger than the daughter. They looked like twins.
Yeah.
And they tell the story that that was a true story.
Well, Alex Haley says it wasn't his family, and that it wasn't actually his before he passed. And
he did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Mm.
I had a friend of mine who was a very talented artist, and what he did was because of Roots. He told me that I was descended from slaves, and he drew an Italian-looking guy, you know, with the wife beater shirt with a big afro, and he called him Kunta Dezino. He said it to me. But yeah,
Mike, you didn't gone too far.
I know, but I think that's funny.
Hold it.
You were never raised Italian. You know, in the pecking order back where I came from, Italians and blacks were considered the same.
Mike, they were considered
the dark
the same.
Skin, the olive skin.
No, they were considered. They never were considered the same.
Well,
in America, they were.
No, they weren't considered the same
until later.
Because they assimilated later.
I mean,
they're still not the same.
The German and the Irish kids and all that in the neighborhood. Because I hung around with some black friends I had and stuff. They said, "Well, you would expect them to hang around because the Italians are just blank, blank in." You know, and
yeah, we thought the Italians created the pizza.
Heck yeah, we did.
Well, we thought America created
pizza.
No,
you didn't.
Yeah, we thought so too. Actually, pizza
Italian
in Italy is
create
horrendous.
The pizza.
It's terrible tasting. The worst pizza ever had was in Italy.
But I'll say this, we did think a lot of those things, no doubt, and those things were not real. But
So hold on, I have a question, and I got to go. But tell me what happened to the history of African-Americans and Italians, because right now they're as far from each other as blue is from red.
Because of the invasion into Ethiopia and everything else in the 30s or 20s, whatever that was, they used to call them mulattoes, the kids that were half black and half Italian and stuff, and they were... They said they were prodigy from that incursion, and the Italian soldiers were taking black women from Ethiopia and stuff. And it was always just, I don't know how much of it's true historically. And my grandfather was a military man in the Italian service at the time, and he did serve in Ethiopia and stuff. So my mother even perpetuated it. My mother was very light-skinned, almost German-looking, and when people used to, when she came to this country and people wanted her not to associate with black people because that's what you don't do here, she said, for all I know, they're my cousins. Even she believed the rumors that blacks and Italians were related somehow.
Your problem is that it was backwards, because the reason why blacks and Italians, primarily Sicilians, are related, no doubt about it, is because of Hannibal invading Italy in the wintertime, coming over the Alps with elephants.
Elephants.
Yeah.
And then he came up through the elephants, and he took over that part of Italy for a couple of years.
Right.
So absolutely.
Well, so going back to my original conversation, when I said St. Pat was black.
St. Pat's was black. There's no doubt about it.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. So and so where the truth comes in, saying that he was Italian.
No.
So hold on. So why wasn't he a black Italian?
Well, he could have been, but I don't know what timing we're talking about, but. The St. Patrick was black.
No, that's what I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
My question is, they say he's Italian. We say he's black. And you're telling me that the blacks and Italians were related.
Absolutely.
Everywhere but in Mahoning Valley.
But he could be both. He was born physically when his mother was standing in labor in the country we call Italy. But his heritage and his roots were people of color.
So going back to what I said, he was Italian and black, and blacks and Italians were related in America, except for the Mahoning Valley.
I don't know nothing about no.
You don't know, and you do know all at the same time, Pioca, because all you have to do is know any place USA, and it goes on right here.
Yesterday I was looking for a restaurant so my grandson could have some corned beef, and all restaurants are closed around here on Monday.
Yeah,
kind of
down here in South Carolina, you got to go to Knights of Columbus to get corned beef on St. Patrick's Day.
Man, they had so many places with corned beef up here. You walk down the street with your hand out, someone liable to put a corned beef sandwich in your hand.
I'm going to go see Kravitz. I don't know why you're playing.
I did
day
Station
after.
Square yesterday.
I'm glad
you mentioned
that. Oh, yeah.
Octavio does a wonderful call.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't there. Wait a minute. Octavio, he's Italian, ain't he?
He's Italian.
What's he doing?
I met his mama.
Did you meet his mama?
Oh, yes.
His familia.
She is beautiful.
Is she really?
Yes. And
does she speak any English?
No. And so I had my pad out. Because some people kidnapped me, right, and they made me eat with them when they found out that I was on your show. Well, that's a true story. And and so we were talking and eating and everything, and she came and sat at the table as well. And they wanted her to sit down with us. And, man, they had all the food and everything in this place. And his mom, I was looking up questions to ask her and – Oh, yeah, she just enjoyed that so much. So,
wow, you got to meet his mom.
Mom is great, too. She's a really, really nice person.
Local call, your mic is on.
Hi. Yeah, I was listening to Jeff about Hannibal, how he invaded Italy, and that there are some Italians that have mixed heritage that will blend it through the generations, and they probably don't even realize it.
They realize it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
If you could say that about Italians, then I'm letting you know that Puerto Ricans, who you one day I heard you refer to as not being black,
right?
They actually had more Africans imported to Puerto Rico than they ever did to America.
That's what created.
And they had actually their slavery didn't end until after ours ended. There is such a blend of racial, the three races in Puerto Rican heritage of the indigenous. Then there's the African, and then there's the Spanish, the white Spanish. So actually, they are African. Some of them don't look like it, but they all mostly probably have that African heritage. By that same token, here in America, we go by the one drop rule. If you got one drop, that you're black.
Unless you can pass.
Puerto Ricans, they can have 10,000 drops.
but they're not going to be considered black. They're going to be considered Latino, Hispanic. They're going to be called this, this, and this. Everything they can to avoid to say they're black, and they are. They probably have more African American in them, or African Spanish in them, rather.
But nobody wants to be black in America.
I mean,
even black people don't want to be black in America. And you can call me one drop or two drop, because if I could pass, they did. Look at Carol Channing.
I know, and
ain't nobody trying to be black in America. That'll get you killed.
Flash dance lady, she has one black.
Jennifer Beal.
But in Puerto Rico, it's nice because they don't go by that racial stereotype, and so they don't have those stigmas. But
yes, they do too.
The Latinos kind of like, well, there I go, you know. But they kind of get a pass because.
Yes, they do have it in there. The thing is, don't marry anything. Don't marry anything darker than you.
Well, let me say this like this, and Piyaki, I'll kind of support that fact. What happened is, I don't know that Puerto Rico had slavery. I don't know that.
You don't know that?
No, just wait a minute. But I do know that the slave trade backed up thousands of black men on that island. And so what happened is they had all of these men there that they couldn't send back. And so what they did is they went up to Ireland and offered the white Irish women land if they would come down and marry one of these men that they had backed up on this island because of the slave trade ending.
That's me. Sorry.
Yeah, look at that. Anyway, and so that's how you got the trade-off. And what happened is, they kicked the white folks off the island and the black folks off the island. And they had the mulatto race that we now know as Puerto Rican.
But is that fact in history? I mean,
that's historical fact. Look it up.
Okay, but by the same token, look up also the slave trade that went on in Puerto Rico.
I will do that. I wasn't aware. That's what I'm saying. I don't know it. I wasn't aware of it. But I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Well, they also had slaves in Mexico. A lot of people don't know that. There's a whole state or area where there's just black population and black Mexicans. So, the man who wrote that story, Queen, he's the one that went and did all of that digging and found all those different facts out, and he recorded it. There's a black Madonna. There's so much that.
Well, slavery wasn't allowed in Mexico. That's why you had an underground railroad to Mexico. That was one of the reasons of the Mexican-American War, because Mexico wouldn't allow Americans to come down and recapture their slaves.
Right.
And
at the same time, while black slavery was going on in this hemisphere, you had Spain.
Hold on, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In all those countries, they don't go by that one-drop rule, though. So they don't say we're black or this, except for the Cubans. Like, what's that one they used to say? Suka. What was her name? She passed away. Famous Cuban singer from back in the 30s.
A Baker.
No.
Was
that
Baker?
No, Cuban. You know, she's
Arnaz.
Carmen Miranda?
The Cubans go ahead and say, you know, we're black Cubans. Puerto Ricans don't go ahead and say we're black Puerto Ricans.
But nobody wants to be black, because, see, black again. I mean, seriously, black is hard. And you look at history. You know, we had to sing songs, I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud.
And then plus it's such a misnomer, because there's nobody really black except in Africa. You're brown. Why can't, you know, just say brown, you know.
No, we don't want to be brown. We want to be.
I'm black.
We don't want to be black, because black, I mean, it's hard being black.
It may be, but I love it, and I wouldn't change it. I like who I am. I like how I am.
But you were raised a different. You were raised to embrace your blackness.
Well, I was.
There are many people in America that the last thing they want to do is be black in America.
We embrace all of our multicultural heritage, and that's why we feel like, you know, you're being put in this box. Like, oh, you can't say you're equally this or equally that. You have to be this one thing. You can't be this part, and this part, and be a blend. And I had wrote a futuristic short story, which I do predict that there will be the browning of America in about 20 years from now. There, be
it's
the
now.
Majority race will be
2025.
It's now. We, if you live right, you're probably going to see it unless the rapture comes.
20?
We don't know, because the day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, so we don't know when it's going to happen.
That's what I'm saying, but it's coming, because it's predicted. And what makes it so bad is African Americans, black people, the way we're on the road we're going, you're going to be extinct by 2075. They'll read about you just like the Indians.
We already are, because we're a mixture.
Right.
So many,
no.
That's not wise, because you're right. Killing yourself.
No, it's because we're allowing this to happen. Between mm-hmm. this and abortions and violence, you will be non-existent. That's why everybody's thinking about Hispanic people and people of Latin descent. Because African Americans, seriously, look at your incarceration, look at your vitality rate. You'll see. You're going down. We're
so
going down. We're going
one,
out backwards.
One.
All of that is encouraged by the sayers of America that make the rules. They want to keep that as as an industry. The prisoners is an industry. They want to keep.
No women having abortions on free will.
We're doing this on our own.
In 2012, black women aborted more babies in New York than they had.
They need a leader to come in.
No. We just need to stand up and just say no more. I mean, right now, we vote for this.
Every year.
We vote for this. We vote for no education. We vote for bad government. We vote for politicians who want to kill us. We vote for genocide of our own people. We do this on our own, and we keep on taking food instead of feeding one another. We are no longer our brother's keeper, and we go wait for a man to come help us instead of helping ourselves.
They need to grab all the young black women and teach them, so when they have little babies, those babies won't go out and start killing each other.
You
need to quit.
We don't accept it. We keep on thinking it ain't us. It ain't me. It'll never happen to me.
No, you need to quit believing the people that tell you that they're your friends.
Because they're not our friends.
Not at all.
And I'm not saying I'm not saying that all Republicans are in love with us. I'm not saying that either.
Not at all.
But what I'm saying is we are doing our own demise by our own hand.
Fighting to do it. We want abortion. We want
it.
And until we actually grow up and say, you know what, somebody's out to kill me and they have guns, we'll come back, we'll stand back up like that horse I just saw get hit.
Black teenage mothers kill young black youth because she doesn't teach them anything.
Yeah, but a mama should have told her that before she had the baby. You know, we really.
Her mother was like that, too, though. It went back generations. The last generation that taught the kids anything was probably back in the 30s or the 40s.
It was, but the question is, why did we do it? I got to go. I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bianchi, you're from the Midwest. You're out there, right, where there's cattle and stuff?
Where's what now?
You're out in the Midwest where there's cattle and stuff. When you were younger, did you go out and tilt cows like we used to do in college?
Push them over when they're sleeping at night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we slap them on
their
ass.
What are you doing?
Push a bull, too, but you better get your ass out of there when you get up.
No, we had a couple of run-ins with bulls. Some kid one day, we snuck into a farmer's field, and he had pumpkins, and we were stealing the pumpkins, and he had some wild peppers growing that were left over. And so one of the kids put a firecracker and a pepper and pitched it over to where the bull was, and the bull picked it up, and it went off. And he did not make it to the fence. He got hung up on the barbed wire, and the bull gored him right in the upper thigh in the back. Almost, I mean, he could have severed an artery and killed him right there. But, yeah. So, yeah, no, there's just some critters you don't mess with. But the cows are so docile, they would just look at you like, what are you doing? You know, we want you to fall over. Oh, okay, and they would accommodate you. Yeah. Yeah, at the University of Connecticut, where they had a dairy farm up there, it's where they got all the milk products and eggs and stuff that was for the, because they were an Aggie school at one time, so that's where a lot of our food for meals in the dormitories came from.
Well, I tell you what, dairy farms are closing in the United States left and right.
Oh, yeah, milk is, you know, milk's gone through the roof in price, and it's the per 100 weight of milk for the farmer with the cost of feed and antibiotics and everything else and all the EPA regulations and everything else about that. You know, what you got to do at a dairy farm and stuff, it's darn near impossible to stay in business. Yeah, yeah.
I took some Nigerian friends of mine. We went up to Iowa State University.
Mm-hmm.
maybe a year before last, maybe in 2012, I think it was, and visited their farm.
Uh-huh.
And we had a classroom session. The guy was telling about the number of farms that close every week. And I was very surprised. But
yeah. Well, up through New England, because, you know, New York City and high population areas keep going out into the suburbs. You know, a dairy farm is something you can buy fairly cheap, subdivide it, build 100 houses, and, you know, charge people who make six-figure money a couple hundred thousand, $300,000-$400,000 for a house in the almost country, you know. And, yeah, and we used to take down barns all the time, too. You know, those old barns were wonderful. We used to disassemble them and move them and re-erect them as houses and stuff, and because there were tons of, like 10,000 barns between Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Massachusetts that were just sitting empty. And that nobody was using anymore. They were part of dairy farms, you know.
Yeah.
Sad. But, you know, then you look at all the medical arguments about why you shouldn't be drinking milk. One of the reasons that you shouldn't be drinking milk is juvenile diabetes in parts of the world where the kids don't drink bovine milk. They drink soy milk or rice milk or
goat's milk.
They do not have diabetes in children. It is so rare. And there's been lots of studies in Europe and everything else. There's an antibody in the cow's milk that's very similar to an antibody in your body. And if you ingest that through the milk and it gets into your bloodstream, it sees your pancreas as a foreign body and attacks it. And that's what's causing diabetes. Most of the diabetes in children, type 1, you know, juvenile diabetes, is directly related to the drinking of cow's milk now. And that's pretty much accepted in the whole rest of the world as scientific fact, and even by a lot of Western doctors, except, you know, you do have the dairy lobby in this country, so you're a communist if you tell people not to drink milk. You know?
Hmm.
So, are you still working actively?
No.
Steel and engine? No, you're not. You retired? Or
yeah, you retired from that on. After nearly four decades, and I think enough was enough.
Yeah. Did you see much change in the industry over those four decades as far as
with,
innovation?
With OSHA?
Yeah, well, just I meant with
OSHA regulations. Not too much innovation, because the things that they'd done back in the early 1900s, they still use the same technology, I guess, if you want to call it technology.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, there was always innovations in welding machines, but the last innovation in welding machines was, in the mid-70s, Lincoln made some improvements on their wire feeders and so on and so on, but since then, they still use the same techniques. Now, I know that because of that earthquake that they had out in California, that structural engineers start specifying a high tensile wire, like wire that's have copper alloy mixed with it and magnesium. And I didn't really care for it because it deposits. It has a light deposit, where we used to use wire that you could deposit like 30 pounds an hour. Well, they wanted you to go to that where you deposit 5 pounds an hour.
Yeah.
And it just slowed the process down.
Yeah.
And when you slow the process down, when you have to make multiple passes, then you expose yourself to the possibility of having errors.
Yeah, well, that's like the same thing we saw in house construction for our plumbing specifications, you know. They wanted us away from 50-50 tin lead because of the lead in the copper joints and stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you'd plumb an entire house with maybe a 2 pound roll at the most, you know? And oh no, that had to go, and you had to go to 95.5, which took longer to heat. You had to go to map gas and everything else. The joints were harder to make. The average guy couldn't get the bead to flow and everything else, get the capillary action going. And for what? You only drink water at your kitchen sink, and, you know, for the most part, or your bathroom sink. The rest of the water is just going to your washing machine, your toilets, and places like that, where the little bit of lead that could be in that water was insignificant compared to the fact that they never addressed what the city had to do. They had to get rid of that darn 12-pound piece of lead called a corporation fitting, how they tapped you in perpendicular
yeah,
to the water.
Yeah, tap it in with that. What was that?
Corporation fitting, they used to call it. Big old
yeah,
piece of lead.
Yeah, then they had something else they used to pack in there around it.
Oakum.
Then put a lid on top. Oakum, there you go.
Yeah, but that was mainly for your cast iron drains we did that.
Right.
So oakum made it watertight, which was nothing more than greased hemp, really. And then you put a cap of lead on it just so that the oakum didn't deteriorate over the years. But, yeah, that was an art unto itself. But, you know, again, for water safety, it was hypocrisy to blame my 2 pounds of lead, which is only available on the cross-section between a male and female copper joint, and it was 50-50. I mean, it was insignificant compared to that 12-pound fitting that all your water passed through on the way to your house. You know, it was crazy. You know, but I didn't write the regulation.
Well, they have a problem with them old pipes. You know, they used to use cast iron for gas gas lines.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So they have to replace that now. They replaced the water lines. It used to be cast iron and use
using the
plastic now.
Yep.
Polyethylene.
Yeah, we use it in geothermal for our ground loops for heat transfer and stuff. And
that's a neat thing there, geothermal.
I'd love to share with. I'm certified. I'm internationally certified in design on that and stuff from the University of Oklahoma.
That is a neat thing there.
Yeah.
How far you have to go? Well, I guess it depends on where you are, but how far you have to go down in order to get to the point where the temperature is basically the same all year long?
It's pretty much the same all over the world, even in Alaska. It's between 190 to 210 feet down, and here's the standard. It's a 4-inch borehole.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons of economy for that, because you have to back grout it with something that doesn't shrink. Like, you can't use your spoils to fill the hole. You have two 3/4-inch polyethylene pipes that are an inch apart, separated by a webbing, and at the end is a tight hairpin 180 turn, all molded in, no joints, no glue, no nothing. It's all heat sealed so that there's no leaks.
Mm-hmm.
You push that down in the hole, and you backfill it with a special grout that doesn't shrink when it's wet and doesn't shrink when the temperature dries it out so that you have contact with the earth. If your hole's an average of 200 feet, just about anywhere in the world, and you're pumping 3 gallons a minute of water through it, you have 1 ton of heating or cooling. That's the standard. So if you need a 4-ton, you put 4 of those in. Or you go down 600 feet and get 3 ton out of that, you know. But it's that 3 gallons a minute down to 200 feet will give you, on average, 1 ton of heating or cooling just about anywhere in the world.
That'd be damn.
Yeah, it's that simple. And the equipment
and it costs a whole lot. What's the temperature?
Your temperature bounces between 45 to 50 degrees pretty much all over the world.
Yeah, that's good for air conditioning. And for heat, you only got to heat it up 20 degrees, which uses a lot less energy.
Yeah. Well, what happens is they bring it up. No, they bring that 45-degree water up, and they pass it over the freon gas in the permagas in the unit that they use, just like a heat pump has, and
mm-hmm.
then they compress it fourfold, so it goes to 180 degrees in temperature. Remember Boyle's law, 1/4 the volume, 4 times the temperature.
Mm.
And then the fan goes on and blows it into your ductwork as 180 degree air, cooling off the coils. It's the reverse cycle of an air conditioner. Is basically what they do. So they run it either way, or they cool the gas while it's compressed. And drop it to 55, you know, and drop it down to 70, 80 degrees, and then let the pressure off, and, of course, it cools down to your 50-degree air, 55 degrees, and then they blow that through the ductwork.
How big your coils have to be? Same size?
The units are about comparable, like a 3-ton or 4-ton unit is about comparable to what you have, and basically it's called a 4-to-1 system. They divide the energy needs into 5 components, and a 4-to-1 system, 4 parts of what you need come free out of the ground, the BTUs, because you're not making BTUs, you're transferring them.
Mm-hmm.
And only 1 unit comes from your electric supply, which basically drives your compressors and pumps and everything to move it. It's a 4-to-1 system in the more high efficiency. But you also design only to 94% of what you need, because to design a system to be 100% of what you need doubles the cost. To get that last 6% out for those couple of days a year where it's 105 when normally you're 90 degrees in your part of the country, you know, and those
mm-hmm.
couple of days a year where you're down to -8 where you're normally never below 25 for most of the winter, you know. So you don't design for 100% because it just raises the cost too much. You design for 94% of your average need. So, and it works great. And it's, I have the instructor that I had was from Syracuse, New York, and he worked for Carrier Air Conditioning go back 30-some-odd years ago when they first started doing this, and he volunteered with his power company and the fact that he was a Carrier employee to be in a guinea pig and have one of the original old systems put in. And this goes back 6 years ago that I got my certifications, and he showed us his. They put a separate meter on for his system. He was heating his home for $47 a month in Syracuse, New York. That sure
beats. It's a 4-inch borehole, huh?
Yeah, because the grout they use is very expensive. It's a yellow clay that comes out of Oklahoma, and it's called bentonite, so from some ancient seabed. And when it's wet or when it's dry, it doesn't shrink or expand. So your heat loop stays in contact with the ground. Because if what you fill a hole with, if it's wet, it's expanded. If it's dry, it shrinks away and pulls away from your pipes. Now you've frozen them out into an airlock, basically. And you don't get the transfer to earth for your temperature, for your BTUs.
Well, you ever have any problem with those? Where you do lose that thermal contact?
Yeah, and that's how they know to grout them with bentonite. You can't put the spoils back down the hole. And this is why most well drillers will come, because they're set up for 8 inches. They'll say, oh, I can drill you an 8-inch hole. No. You'll cost me 4 times more on the bentonite. Stuff like $100 a bag.
Mm.
You know, it's very expensive. That's the most expensive part of doing the ground loops. Of course, you could also do horizontal trenches if you've got land, and they make like a slinky type thing that you can then expand out a couple hundred feet. And, you know, and you'll have 300 linear feet of the slinky and 175-foot trench or something like that. And that's and you get that down about 8 feet so that the high part is only 5 feet under the ground and the other part's down 8 feet. And you can make a one-ton loop there if you have land. And if you're in farmland where, you know, up north you can hit granite all the time, we ain't going to do it, you know. If you're near a
well, yeah,
pond,
if you do it horizontal, you always got the pressure there.
Yeah. And then if you, but they have found that the sun affects the surface temperature down to 20 feet. They have found that out. So on hot days in the summer, you need extra footage of that type of system because the sun does affect it, you know, temperature-wise. You
grow some trees around it.
Yeah. And well, that's the other thing. You got to make sure you don't have any roots growing into your pipe because roots will seek out water, you know. And then the other thing is that on that type of a system, you could also, if you're near a body of water, you can put your loop right out into a lake.
Right into the stream. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah,
now, how big of the pipe you have to hit? What diameter pipe you have to use when you use that?
Three-quarter.
Three-quarters
of an inch. That's all it is. It's three-quarters, two pieces paralleling each other, so it's a loop, you know, and it goes through the end and comes back on a hairpin turn like a bobby pin. And it's your flow. It's that when you're going vertical into the ground down that 200 feet, it's 3 gallons per minute in just about everywhere in the world down 200 feet will give you the equivalent.
Well, I'm talking
of
about
ton.
If you lay it, if you trench it.
You still trench
if
it.
If you trench
still go
it.
For the one-ton standard per loop.
Okay.
You still go for that.
Now, what happens if a person loop back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, just put a 180-degree elbow at the end of, your say, a 4-inch pipe and run water through it? It won't do it?
I guess you could, but the equipment is so cheap. The equipment is so inexpensive. The hard part is the expensive part is the excavating. But the equipment is so cheap, there's nothing to be gained by doing that. And then what they find is having 4 200-foot loops or 4 200-foot trenches coming to manifolds that are stepped down so that it balances the flow so that 3 gallons goes through each loop all the time. You know, you don't get uneven distribution. You know, one gets 10 gallons a minute, the other gets a half a gallon. So, you know, the headers have to be designed for the system. And, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there. That's your outgoing manifold and your incoming manifold have to be designed for that. But they just find it pretty much short loops. The whole thing is designed for one ton a loop. That's basically the easiest way to say it. Because everything is standardized in your manifolds, know how much water to give it and everything else. Otherwise, you're designing way too much that you can't buy off a store shelf.
Well, you know, when you Well,
you
drill for oil.
If you want to know more about this, because I can share some other stuff that I just don't put out in the public domain. If you want to know more about this, drop me an email, and we can communicate, and I can give you prices and costing and where to and everything else. I just don't put it out there because I have other people who are living in this industry that, you know, we don't know who's mm-hmm. listening to us right now. Okay.
Well, you know what? When you're drilling for oil and gas, that mud that they use, they lease that from a company.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they lease it. It's the slurry. They bring it up and they put it in a holding tank, you know, and then they recirculate it back around after they filter it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're done, they don't own it. It's a company that's somewhere out west. I guess it's probably more than one that takes a combination of clay and soil and I guess other compounds and makes this powder that they wet and use it for the mud.
Mm-hmm.
That they use to control the pressure of the gas. In other words, if the pressure is too high, they pump more mud, and the weight of the mud, you know, gets to a point where it stabilizes. But that mud is, I understand, I was talking to a guy in Louisiana at LSU, and he was telling me that they got a working oil well at LSU for the students and petroleum engineering. He told me that they leased that mud. I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either, but God bless America. If somebody wants it and someone's got it, there's a way to get paid for it.
Yes. It's used to cool down the temperature of the drilling heads, too.
Yeah. And there's probably a certain specific gravity to it, and there's probably a grit level.
Yeah, you're right.
It's safe enough that doesn't chew up the bits, but adds just enough abrasive like cutting oil does when you're cutting threads.
Yep, you're right.
Yeah. Cool.
I told my grandson, that's what you got to learn.
Yeah, you got to learn that. All that geological stuff, yeah. That's so cool. That's why I just constantly am learning all the time. I just, you know, Pekaki, I am perplexed by the people who come on that the left defends as these poor, downtrodden, ignorant people that without somebody helping them, their life will never improve. And I'm going, my God, remember yesterday I told Mike about the man I met who was worth $80 million. When he said he earned his living from 9 to 5 and made his fortune from 5 to midnight, it wasn't that he took another job. He started teaching himself. He started going out there, seeing what was out there that he could learn. He rose in his job where they began to pay him more and more, but he kept lean, like he living on his old paycheck, and what was new, he put away. So when he saw an opportunity for something that he said, I know a lot about this, this fits into something I could do, he could make the move. Because remember, Tracy one day got on me, you don't understand, they got kids, they got food, they got bills. Well, he had 8 months' salary in the bank, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to then go start something. It was in the oil industry. He found a part or a procedure or a piece for a procedure that he could get a manufacturer's rep agreement going, and then he got some exclusivity, and he just worked his tail off selling this, and pretty soon he began to export it around the world and everything else. You know, lots of people working for him as a sales force, and he made his fortune that way in the energy industry, which is a good industry to go into. And he didn't do anything that anybody else could not do. We have a gentleman that calls on this line, and I will not expose him, but I have asked him, begged him, share your story. He has never shared his story. 6 years ago, he was working in a fast food place. He's a black man, that I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago, he's working in a produce department in a supermarket. Today, he's working in a $95,000 a year IT job that he just got hired for. It's the sixth IT job he's had in the last 2-3 years. And he said, and I didn't pay one dime for my IT education. I got it all off the internet for free.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in your resume. Find out what their problem is. Tell them, I have some knowledge about that, and they hire you on the spot. If you can come and fix that. And of course, you go everywhere, and people are blogging about, I ran into this, and I found over here at address 2-2-dot, you know, and stuff. And what I did was I corrected and flipped the switch to this and, you know, set the default, and, you know, and there's all kinds of fixes. That's what you get paid for, what you know how to fix.
Well, hell, when I was coming up to school, in high school, I took auto mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I got in the ironworkers, I'd be on a job, something go wrong, I fix it.
Yeah.
Generator loses excitement. I excite the call and get it running again. Hey, they thought I was working miracles.
Yeah, they thought you were the voodoo man from the islands. You knew that Cajun voodoo stuff. Yeah, it's funny to do that, and it's fun. It's fun, and I grew up. I was really blessed, Bianchi, because blind or not, I grew up in a huge industrial center where there were all kinds of industry. And everybody around me was some kind of tradesperson. They worked in a factory as a foundry or a tool maker, or they were a bricklayer or something. And I got exposed to men who went to work every day. That was their job, and they all knew something that I wish I knew. And I apprenticed under some great people. And as a kid, and if you were willing to learn, they didn't care I was blind or whatever, they were willing to sit there and tell me. And I sit there and hear the old men talk about problems they solved and the clever things they did, just like what you said just now, and everything else. And I said, wow. And darn if 30 years later I'm not somewhere on some job site and someone's got a problem, and I say, here, let's try this, and I made it work. I worked in 13 construction trades.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's stuff up on YouTube about that, about me and stuff.
Well, that's just one of you, 100% blind?
Yes, sir. I was born legally blind, and which means that I had 2200 vision that was non-correctable. Glasses didn't help, none of that helped. And I could see color if it was bright. I could see shapes. I saw no detail. And by the time I was 8 or 9, they were saying this is getting worse, and pretty soon I would be totally blind. And that's my reality. So, but I lived in a place where men worked with their hands. My dad abandoned us. I became the man of the house at 11 years old. It was up to me to learn how to bleed the furnace. It was up to me how to learn how to, you know, repair the boot in the washing machine and all that, because my mother worked 3 minimum wage jobs to support me and my brother and keep the apartment going in the project. And basically anything I do to save money, keep her car running, do oil changes, I had to teach myself all that.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's just wonderful.
Oh, it's awesome. It's having skill in my hands. I sleep so good at night because I really don't care what the economy does. I know I can put food on the table by next week just by going fixing something for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I worked as a millwright in the early 70s. I used to travel through the South and stuff, set up injection molding machines and vacuum forming machines and stuff in the plastics industry and stuff, worked that, doing that, built chiller towers and all that. One day a guy stuck a giant-sized alligator clip on a jumper cable in my hand and with a rod in it, and he said, I'm going to teach you how to arc weld. Okay. And you know, and because I had such a straight hand, being blind, I knew how to draw a straight line, perfectly straight. I had good hands, you know, that once I felt with my glove where the joint was, I could follow that joint. And it didn't matter that I had I couldn't see the arc. I could put it where I needed it and do some pretty damn good welding. Now, I was not medical quality welding, but if something had to be fixed or something had to be welded so the vibration didn't take it apart, I could do that. I could put a nice quarter inch,
yeah, you can,
up,
man,
grind it, you know, and I yeah.
Yeah, you can weld.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that kind of welding with your eyes closed.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking about them chiller towers. Man, yeah. I used to see some humongous chiller towers, but you don't see them no more.
No, because now, you know, instead of going up into the air, they can go down into the ground, or they can go other places. And yeah, but those chiller towers were everything. You used to see them on top of all the ice cream plants and everything else, the dairy plants. You saw them on top of everything in the plastic industry. It's how you cool down your molds. You saw them in foundries. You saw them everywhere. It's how they cooled stuff down. Yeah. Yep. And like I say, I was really blessed because every job I had, I found somebody. I worked 3.5 years in the electrical trade and industry down in Miami. That was kind of cool. Learned a lot about three-phase and 440 and learned a lot of things, too, that to this day I use. You know, it's like, you know, I just – knowledge is great. When you got knowledge, you're not a slave to somebody else's opinion.
Yeah, I like teaching people so they can take care of themselves. I don't believe in depending.
Yeah.
You don't know how powerful you are when you don't have to depend on other people.
I would love for you to teach me how to calculate the span for steel and so I know what my load is and what my deflection is and everything else if I want to pick the right I-beam for something I'm doing. Because right now I do it intuitively from what I've seen in the trades over the years. You know, I know when to go to a 10-inch, 30-pound, or, you know, whatever like that. I knew that intuitively, but I'd really love to know how to do the calculations. When I went to college, I was a physics and math major because I figured if I learned that, then all I got to do is get a book on engineering of anything, and I'll understand the formulas at least. You know?
Well, the thing is with span, the greater your span, the deeper the memory has got to be.
Yep.
If you span it out 10 feet, then you get by with something that's 14 inches deep. If you span it out 20 feet, then you may have to, depend even on the same load, then you have to increase it to maybe a 21-inch deep.
Gotcha.
So that's the...
Because of the moment.
You know how, there's a book, AISC, American Institute of Steel Construction, has tables. Well, actually, you need to know what your load is. Once you know what your load is, then those tables can tell you exactly what beam you need to go to.
Yeah,
and what beam you need to go to, you know, certain things like head clearance and so on and so on comes into play.
Yeah. I don't get quite to the finesse that you had to design to, but just lots of times I just needed to know that if I picked a beam, like they didn't want any poles in a garage and they wanted to have free span in a 24 by 24 garage, but they wanted an upstairs loft to support the floor. I could calculate the floor load. That's easy enough to do. When I worked for ARCO in their building products division, we used to have steel impregnated styrofoam building panels that were the precursors to stress skin panels that they use now.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, and you know, we designed buildings. Heck, the studs were the light gauge. Actually, they were more like floor tracks for interior stud, but because they were locked into the styrofoam, they couldn't rack. And you had true compressive load on them. And we had a 4x8 panel that had eight of those in there, eight ordinary
lightweight flat
studs in a 6-inch wide panel that was 4x8 by 6, 6-inch, 5.5 inches.
You use that for the floor?
No, use that for, yeah,
for the wall.
We could use it for the floor, we could use it for the wall, and I could build three stories with that because the panel, according to UL, went to 10.5 compressive load before it failed. And these were studs that, if you had the stud in your hand, you could, the weakest man in the world could rip it, you know, fold it in half because it was just light gauge sheet metal. It wasn't anything strong, but when it was molded into the styrofoam, it was pure compressive load because it couldn't rack out of the vertical. It was awesome.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something else. If you're talking about using a span for floors, you can use bar joists for that, open web bar joists. That's the cheapest way to go about doing it.
Oh, yeah. And or now they've got micro-lam glue beams and stuff that are out there. You can do that, too. And you might have to put two in rather than one down the center and like on a 24 by 24 garage, cut your joist to 8 foot, you know. But, yeah, you get away with micro-lam glue beams. Those things are incredibly strong, you know.
Now, with the bore joists, you can pass ductwork through them.
Yeah.
The bore joists have to be bridged with like one inch square by 8-inch angle.
Yep.
Well, to the underneath side of the top cord and top side of the bottom cord.
Yeah.
Just a little tack well where they give the diaphragm action.
Yep.
Then the deck that you put on top, the floor decking could be 1-inch centering. It has to be welded with well washer. Then you can pour 2 inches of lightweight concrete on top of that.
Yep.
And then you're good to go.
Yeah. I owned an industrial roofing company for a few years where we used to do state-of-the-art roofing. We did a lot of...
rubber roof?
We did rubber roofs, and we did monolithic urethane spraying, too, with the elastomerics on it and everything else. Those were great for the factories up north that had lots of penetrations through the roof. Nobody could compete against you in price because you know, you'd lose all your time with a rubber roof making boots around tower legs and everything else. You know, but when you've got the spray, you just get you primer everything and go in and just start spraying down the foam, and everything is locked in, and then you spray your elastomeric on top of that, and it's golden, you know. And so we used to do a lot of that, and of course we could, back in the day in the 80s, there was all the energy scare from the 70s still, so states were underwriting that work. You know, you could get 30% rebate from the state because you were actually insulating the roof at the same time. And I had a complete system. You know, we had a when I say system, when somebody wanted to be my customer, I made it so darn easy and affordable for them to be a customer because I knew how to walk them through all the state and federal money and everything else. It's all part of the service, you know. And but that was an awesome industry. But there was a reason I was telling you that. Darn, it escapes me. Oh, lots of times we come up on places that have bar joists in the roof, and over the years, you know, water damaged the B deck that they had up there. You know, the B decking, and we used to have to put that back down and stuff too. So I did get involved a little bit in some steel work, you know, but mainly so I could get on to being a roofer again, you know. But it was fun. It was fun. I just loved it because nobody expected a blind guy could do this stuff. I think that was 90% of the fun.
You had me fooled, I tell you that.
Well, sorry. Didn't mean to take your vision of the world. But you can,
Mike, I'm going to get off from here.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I got to get out of here. I'm going to call a couple of restaurants, see if they got any corned beef and cabbage left over from yesterday, and I'm going to take my grandson by there because I wanted him to have opportunity to experience that.
Yeah, before it's gone.
Before it's all gone.
Yeah, before there's no more Irish people left in the world.
There you
Democrats.
Go. Yes, Democrats and leprechauns.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Bye, PRQ.